welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah.
All right. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM.
Let me give a quick tip as I see Tad plot down the hall toward his place of work, which
fat,
is
drunk and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Answering the phone. I have kids. I got a lot of advice I'm going to pass on to them. My family dealt out no advice. Probably would have been wrong anyway, so it's probably best that they never opened their traps, except for to complain about the man. But a lot of people show up to work like they're showing up to pick up garbage by the side of the freeway. Well, they'll do it, but they're not happy about it. Begrudgingly. Yeah, I'm here. You got me. You satisfied? I'm here. I'm wearing sweatpants, and I have an erection, and I got one flip-flop on, and I'm clearly a mess.
That's how I roll.
I woke up 8 minutes ago. I'm PO'd. You happy? You happy? I set my alarm for this crap.
Can I just get some coffee? Hey, you're lucky I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, you know what time it is? Jesus Christ. And by the way, I don't live here where I work. I have to get my car and drive. Took me 14 minutes to get here this morning. A lot of people show up that way at work. I want to know what's in it for you. Do not act like everyone else you work with is some automatron that just is stored in some sort of storage closet who comes out at 6 a.m., does their work, and goes back into the storage. They all have lives. They all have alarm clocks. They all have significant others. They have dogs they don't want to leave. They have kids, possibly, they don't want to leave. They shave, they shower, they get dressed, and they show up at work. You act as if you were dropped down here. You're fired from a cannon into your place of work. I'm talking about Big Tad right now.
I'm sorry. I just wanted my first cup of coffee. And
no, I understand. It's tough. We don't have to go through what you have to go through. Nobody in the building has the cross to bear that you do.
I lived like a rock star last night. I'm sorry.
All right.
So,
all right. Big Tad.
I'm trying.
Big Tad is going to tell us all about his performance singing on stage with the Pearl Jam
wannabe
group. Dirty Frank. Is that a lyric from a Pearl Jam song?
Yes, it is. I don't know which song, though, but it is a lyric.
A lot of tribute bands do that. They pick a very obscure lyric from a very obscure song that the band that they're emulates sings, and then they expect us all to sort of get it. Dirty Frank doesn't mean... Eddie Vedder doesn't know what the F Dirty Frank means.
I'm a Pearl Jam fan. It's actually the name of a song, but it's so obscure, and it's a stupid song. All he keeps saying is Dirty Frank over and over. It's just like
That's the
whole song.
Yeah, there's a Van Halen... I think there's a Van Halen
tribute band.
Atomic Punk does like Atomic Punk, not one of Van Halen's bigger songs, arguably. Point is,
this is a good song.
Point is, a lot of people walk around work PO'd that they have to be at work and PO'd at the other people that keep the business running for forcing them to get up in the morning. I would say, as far as that strategy goes, I ask this many times, what's in it for you? If we think the boss is going to send you over a fruit basket because you had to show up at work like he did as well. I used to teach traffic school, and that was the attitude of everyone who had to kill a Sunday at a YMCA in Duarte with me. PO'd at the Ace Man. Hey, man, this sucks. Well, perhaps you shouldn't have been cited 4 months ago.
Did you say, good morning, violators?
Yeah, I called them perps. And I told them I would take them downtown. If any of the perps got out of line.
Can I say quickly that you know what cures people of their attitude of ingratitude towards a job? Just try being unemployed for about a year with no job. And then from then on, you will appreciate every job you ever have.
Yeah, I realize it's the product of horrible parenting when your child walks around his workplace acting as if he's doing a favor to the folks who employ him because he has graced them with his appearance. And there's a lot of people that do that. It starts at school. They don't want to go to school. They don't want to be there. I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to be at school, but I didn't walk around with a perpetual puss on as if I was keeping the teachers employed by showing up. I knew it was my own learning disabilities and shortcomings that made me a horrible student, and I had my own personal misery. But I didn't walk around with a puss on.
By the way, were you a class clown?
Yes.
You were. You always hear every comedian, they always tell the story of like, well, I was always, Miss Rogers was the best to me in seventh grade. She gave me 5 minutes at the end of every class to, to do my stand-up, and she really inspired me to...
That's Dane Cook. The Ace Man was told to shut up repeatedly.
You were given the light before you even started.
Yeah.
So were you just... I get the impression from you and your chums who I've met, Ray and Boehm, that it was more about throwing poop at each other than it was about... witty, snarky remarks from the back of the classroom.
That wasn't all. No, it was 90% of it, but how I expressed myself comedically. But that was not all of it.
It wasn't all through.
I'm an artist. Yeah. As far as what, as long as we're changing gears, Tad.
Yes.
Breathe a sigh of relief.
Thank you, sir.
We'll get back to Tad.
As far as is fostering the creative whatever, I'm not going to get out a violin and say that I was beat up for having a good sense of humor. It was neither here nor there. It may have been actually worse than being beaten up from a creative standpoint. You know, a lot of people say there's two paths you can take creatively. One is... oh, I would stand in front of the TV set while Carson was doing his monologue in my little fireman pajamas and go and do a stand-up routine, and my family would laugh, and my dad would give me a quarter when I told him a joke. They're those people. I want to projectile vomit onto their shoes when I hear those goddamn stories, by the way.
Because their dad's their best friend.
I want both of them dead, by the way, not just the guy who announces my dad's the best friend. I want the dad put down, too. He can watch his son die.
Yeah.
No parent should have to. Yeah. Thank you. We'll do the math. You're 80. Your son's 39. I know. It's not a great thing when he dies before you. I love when they do it. No parent should have to bury his child. Okay. Check. Got it. It's not the other way around? Interesting. And what about grandparents? No grandkid should have to bury his great-grand?
In some cases, yes.
Okay, all right, there's cases. I got to check the bylaws.
In some cases, yes. I'm so doing the repeat thing twice now.
Some parents toss their kid a quarter every time they tell them a joke, and that's how you probably end up with Billy Crystal. It's obnoxious, but it's a more straight-ahead route. Then there's this one. Then there's the one where they're constantly telling them, you're not funny. Well, you're no good. You'll amount to nothing. You'll never make it in showbiz. You go into the unfinished furniture business like your dad. That's where the action is. And they defy the parent and they go their own thing. So there's sort of two ways you can get momentum in one direction. One is push the kid in that direction. The other is pull the opposite direction and slingshot him that way. This man had that's funny. Now get to work. You know, like it was not an option. It was sort of a liability because the more talking you do, the less manual labor you'll get done. The more your mouth is flapping, the less that ditch will get dug or those bricks will get stacked or that lawn will get mowed or those burgers will get flipped. But it was just sort of, it was neither here nor there. Like, look, that's all good and well. It's nice to amuse your friends during lunchtime or after work, but now it's time to work. So take this shovel and go get to it. And if you want to make some money, you'll dig a little harder and you dig a little longer. But it wasn't, it wasn't like, we weren't migrant field workers or anything, but this was not an option. Mm-hmm. And since school wasn't really a great option, wasn't really working out, then it was clear that, you have to do something like roofing or something like this, something in the manual labor department. You work hard at it. Maybe you get your own truck. You get one of those magnetic stickers you put on the door with your initials.
So weird that even in Hollywood, you're growing up in North Hollywood, obviously in Pittsburgh, PA, there's no one around who's talking about, I'm going to go off to Hollywood and be, whatever on TV. But even in Hollywood, everyone in school didn't talk about this. Hey, yeah. About 3 miles from here, all the studios. Let's go work at those when we get out of here.
Yeah, it was weird. My family was, fairly blue collar and... a success was not an option for the Corollas. They never really spoke of it. You didn't get to do what you wanted to do for a living. Your job sucked. You're miserable like Tad is. And then if everything went right, you got some health insurance and you got to crack a beer over the weekend. That was your own time. You
know? How should I know?
Yeah. So it wasn't really, nobody knew anybody. Nobody thought it was a viable option. As far as the school went, teachers, faculty, that sort of stuff, it was considered a liability. You were talking. You were disruptive. Teachers, now, as you get older, if anyone young is listening, keep this in mind. As you get older, you look back and you realize your teachers did not have wild senses of humor back then. Yes, technically adults, but not not as evolved comedically as a lot of other folks you might want to hang out with as adults. Turns out not funny at all, for the most part. So it's not like they recognize talent or anything, or they go, oh, this kid is it, and I don't know why they should have. It's not like I was anything but a loudmouth, you know. The other thing, though, too, that I always want to point out to people is I think there's a thing when people ultimately have some success in their field or achieve whatever it is they're looking going out to achieve, that there's a part of you that was in the back of your head that somehow knew it all the time. And I think it's because when they interview celebrities, they always go, like, you know, you watch Tourgasm, you see Dane Cook, they do the sit down with him. It's like, I knew one day. I knew I was destined for. I wrote myself a note. I put it in my wallet. I wrote myself a check. I put it in my wallet. The check was for $10 million. I knew one day. I never thought that way for a goddamn second. It was always just like, look, maybe you'll get lucky and you'll work for something where you get to write jokes for a cartoon that's on deep cable and you make 40 grand a year, maybe get some dental insurance. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. You'll not be getting near a microphone or movie camera or anything like that. Maybe you get to write some jokes. Or actually, someone else will write them because you don't spell so well. But you can sit next to them and tell them jokes. Maybe they'll write it down. I'll think it's funny. That was as far as I was going with it. And everyone around me was in exactly the same place. There was none. One day, buddy, we're getting out of here. Or you're going to do, or this is going to happen. Or it's just a matter of time, but you got to stick with it. Not ever for a second. Nobody around me, including myself. It was just...
It's a myth that you have to believe in yourself.
You do not have to believe in yourself. To me, it was just like, you know what it was like for me? I got, like, my plane went down, Flight of the Phoenix. That's what it was like. The plane went down in the middle of the desert, okay? Mm-hmm. So now you have no water and you have no food. So what are you going to do? Well, you pick a direction, you just start walking. Now, you ever think you're going to show up to some mineral springs with date trees and beautiful women fanning you? No. But what's your choice?
Sit there and die.
Sit there and be pecked to death by vultures. So I just picked a direction and started stumbling toward it, which was sort of comedy. But if you would have stopped me along the way and said, hey, are you sure you're going to hit the oasis any day now? I would have been like, I don't know. I probably could be heading the wrong direction. It could be behind me. Could have been on the first sand dune behind me, and I picked the other direction. I've walked for miles. And by the way, after I'd walked for a few hundred miles, if you would have stopped me at that point, I was like, well... I think I would have hit it by now. So that was my overall attitude. As a matter of fact, I'm leaving.
Were there any famous alumni from North Hollywood before you?
Let's see. I could probably. You mean who had success?
Yeah, was there some celebrity that teachers would hold up? If you apply yourself, you could wind up one day being Gallagher.
I'm trying to think of the guy. There was a guy named, I think his name was Dean, am I thinking right? Dean Devlin, maybe. He wrote, but now he was only a year or two older than me, so he hadn't had any success.
He's the Independence Day guy, right?
Right. He wrote that movie. He wrote kind of producer, writer. Big blockbuster movies and stuff like that. There probably were a handful of celebrities, like Chad Everett's kid was like a grade beneath me for a year before she got thrown out for smoking the weed or something like that. It was like a weird little hodgepodge of quasi-celebrities. I remember Rob Reiner's kid, Tracy Reiner, went to my like junior high. Unattractive lady.
Oh, no. Doesn't need to be attractive.
So
in other words, you're North Hollywood's greatest star.
Well, I think there were some others. I think there were some others that went there. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe Doris Day went there in the late 40s or early 50s or something. Like, there was a few of those. Well, by the way, these days are over because, you know, back in the day, you'd hear, well, so-and-so went to Hollywood High, so-and-so went to Fairfax High. These are all local high schools around here,
right,
if you
Marilyn
guys aren't
Monroe,
doing the math.
Et cetera.
Yeah, I think Carol Burnett went to Hollywood High. John Ritter, I think, went to Hollywood High. No more, because these kids, well, their kids certainly would not, or their kids' kids or whatever, would not attend public school anymore. There'll be no more of that. See what I'm saying? Yes. They'll be athletes and stuff like that, but the white kids, the celebrity kids, they're not going anymore. Mm-hmm. They'll be going to, you know, highfalutin, like they'll say, oh yeah, he's a alumni of the Lord Fauntleroy School for albino hemophilia.
Are they even going to have time in schools like that? You talk about the kids who like, oh, he was the class clown and so I gave him 5 minutes. Are they even going to have time for the curriculum, or is it just going to be one kid after the other doing their 5 minute set? In a school like that.
That's what it'll be.
This is Reiner's grandkid. Put him on stage. No, I want to close the show.
You know, listen, when
I'm buying Crystal's nephew? No way.
When you get hit with the flashlight, you have one more joke. Wrap it up. All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. Hugh Hefner's girlfriends showing up today, all three of them. Holly, Bridget, and Kendra. I have many questions for them. The jerk list, Dave's Fame jerk list today. Def Rat Guy in studio. We're going to play a round of Mr. Brightside, accompanied by Tom Likas, who's going to be phoning in. Comedian Jackie Mason's calling in. He's going to shed a little light on the Mel Gibson thing. And speaking of the Mel Gibson thing, give us your drunk stories, your dumb drunk stories. We have them here on the staff. As a matter of fact, Angie's drunk right now, so we should... Get her in here.
She offered to lend me one of her drunk stories because I didn't have a good one.
She tasted like champagne.
Good, sloppy, drunken stories from not only the cast and crew here, but from you, the loyal listener. 866-901-ADAM. We'll be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. By now, we've all heard about Mel Gibson's drunk driving arrest. Funny how you can still get arrested, even after recording a PSA for the L.A. County Sheriff's Department.
Stopped you because I...
Oh, because you recognized me from television.
I never watch television.
Oh, Charles in charge, you don't?
I'm in charge here. Actually, I stopped you because I noticed your lasso sticker. Just wanted to stop you and thank you for your support. Have a nice day, Chachi.
I knew you recognized me.
Please join me in supporting the L.A. Sheriff's Star Organization. Your gifts provide educational opportunities for the children of our fallen deputies. Please give back to those who give so much.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. All right, we had a little computer snafu there. Mel Gibson decided to talk about some of our famous boozing stories. Mistakes we've all made after taking a little sip of the booze. I want to say this because I hear a lot of people speculating about Mel and what was going on and how the booze is a truth serum. And we talked about it a little bit a few days back when the story broke. But really, sitting next to Dr. Drew for all those years, I do feel like I have some expertise in this field and hanging around with a lot of guys that did a lot of boozing and did a fair amount of boozing myself. Everyone speculates on the news. They have a lot of experts. I even saw Drew on like CNN or something. I didn't turn it up. I was somewhere where I was standing next to a TV and was excited. Hey! Oh, yeah. Saw that guy every night for 11 years. But here's how it goes. You can hear it from me. Forget about... By the way, you realize when you get in this business, the so-called experts, the people that write the books on... Believe me, we've had them on the show. I've spoken to them. They don't know ass most of the time. The guys who are experts, the guys that are experts in the sciences, they know. These kinds of things, they're just speculating. Booze is a truth serum for most people. Most people have things rattling around in their head that would get them fired or get them divorced if they spat them out as soon as they popped up into their heads. I'm sure Teresa's thinking things, Dave's thinking things. Everybody's thinking something horrible about somebody within 4 feet of them constantly. You don't open your mouth and spit it out. Does it mean you should be punished for thinking those things? If that's how it worked, then we would all reside in hell a millisecond after we died. I mean, let's face it. It's it's an ever-evolving thing. That you turn on the news, you go, trouble out of the Middle East, Israel is, and you think, Goddamn Jews. God damn it. God damn, could they straighten it? God damn it. What are they doing over there?
How much with the Jews?
Do you ever look at me and think, hey, sweet teats, but you just don't say it?
No, I think, God damn Jews. God damn it. No, we all do that at any given time. I mean, you turn on the news, you see a trouble out of South Central, a senseless gang. Oh, damn, Bloods, Blacks. Damn, what's up? You know, pow, pops in your head and then pops out of your head. Now, do you walk around with it? A little bit. Does that mean that's who you are, or what you're constantly thinking, or what you're about? Or does that mean you're going to do anything about it? I'm heading down to South Central. I'm going to straighten this out. Oh, the brothers will be sorry they saw the Ace Man once they start rolling onto their crib place. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's tough. Now, when you get drunk, what ends up happening oftentimes is whatever's popping in your head comes now flying out. Instead of you sitting on it, your mouth opens and it comes flying out. Is it an excuse? No. Is that really who you are? No. I would argue when people do this, and they do it all the time, you know, this guy's racist, this guy's sexist, this guy's homophobe, this guy's whatever. I'm tired of people speculating. I would like to see some action. If Mel Gibson is physically doing something, if he's burning a cross on somebody's lawn or desecrating a synagogue, then by all means. But I'm tired of everyone being called racist who doesn't do anything about it. And to me, if that's the criteria, then we could all be racist, we could all be homophobe, we could all be sexist. If it didn't affect anyone, if nobody actually raised a fist in anger or didn't hire anybody because they had this sexual proclivity or this faith, then I don't care.
Well, wait a second.
Now,
Mel Gibson, Mel Gibson is in a position of power. Obviously, if he's racist or otherwise, that he can affect lives.
He can.
The dimwit who lives on the south side of Chicago who blames all of his problems on the black man moving into his neighborhood, you know, he's a powerless man. Well, then who cares if he isn't doing anything? But no, Mel Gibson can end your lives with
right.
This.
Right, but has it affected his hiring policy? I don't know if we can discern that. It didn't seem to be a problem until he lashed out on PCH a few days ago. I'm not trying to defend him. I'm saying, first, it's complicated. There's a lot of stuff that pops in your head and then comes flying in and flying out. It's hard to tell whether you own it or not. There's some people that walk around. You know, it's like Mark Furman uses the N-word. Therefore, he's a racist. Every guy I know has dropped the N-word at one point or another. Did he mean it? Was he going to do anything about it? Did it affect the way he dealt with people of color? If the answer is no to all those things, then you could use the N-word a million times, arguably. And you could name your kid the N-word. I was thinking about that for the boy. But then I thought, better than a boy named Sue, though, if you think about it. Kid's going to be tough. Especially when I enlist him in the busing program and he's heading in. But the point is, I don't know. I don't think Mel Gibson is a great guy. I don't think that he's a blatantly racist. But I will say this. Some people, it goes a step further, as we've talked about. When you get drunk, you get into a blackout phase. And these are people that need to quit drinking. These are people that have a serious problem with booze. These are the people. There's people who get drunk, like we all get drunk, and we become
Exaggerations,
comic book exaggerations of ourselves. Then there are people who get drunk and think they're Napoleon. They get way out. Now, do not confuse passed out with blacked out. Passed out is what you do right before the Ace Man has sex with you. Blackout is when your eyes are wide open, but you don't remember a thing, and you're speaking gibberish, and you're delusional, and we've all had a buddy, and if you go back and look at it in high school or in college, the buddy that got loaded and screamed, come on, boys, we're going across the border, we're going in, we got to say, and you're saying, what are you talking about? I had a buddy named Rudy. The guy, every time he got drunk, would wake up in restraints in like a hospital bed. He went to USC. He defecated on the coffee table of his dorm.
We've all been there.
Started screaming sort of delusional things at his roommate. His roommate had to call the security on him, and they tackled him and stuff. I've been around the guy when he's, you know, getting in guys' faces at parties and screaming, you called my mom a whore, and you want some, we'll take it outside. Guys he've never met before. Now, if you tried to examine what was in his mind, don't waste your time. He doesn't know the guy. The guy didn't call his mom a whore. He doesn't think the guy called his mom a whore. He's in a blackout. Now, not making excuses for Mel, but if you are in that blackout, then anything you say probably shouldn't be used against
you. But on the other hand, like you say, those are the people that need to stop drinking. Sorry, pal. I'm sorry that your personality completely changes and you become violent or morbidly depressed.
Right.
But you got dealt the bad hand, and that's why you can't have any more booze.
That's right. All right. So the answer is as to what was Mel thinking. There's a way better than average chance he was loaded. He'd probably had an ass full of CNN and Hezbollah and Israel, and he'd been, just been permeated with that.
Yes.
Then he got drunk, and that mixed with an environment that was anti-Semitic, where he came up with his dad and all the racial things and everything. That all just came vomiting out. On the other hand, if he's one of these guys who gets loaded and blacks out, then all bets are off. And one could argue that blackout is a racist term as well. All right, we have our drunken stories. You guys have your stories?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Monty?
Yeah?
You've got drunk. You've done things you regret?
I don't know if I regretted it, but...
All right, well, let's move on then. Right out of the gate. Go ahead, Monty.
We were at a party, and I had to relieve myself, and I was in the bathroom. I thought I was looking at myself in the mirror, just kind of admiring how drunk I was. And so then the next day, the girl said that someone had been to the bathroom all over her mirror. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that her mirror is on the opposite side of the bathroom of the toilet.
Mm-hmm. So you urinated on a reflection of you.
Yeah.
Very symbolic. Very symbolic. Yeah. Of a yes. Okay.
Yeah.
You whizzed on a mirror.
Yeah.
All right. I give it a... Three?
Barely.
Nah. There you go, Tad. That's awesome stuff.
He's number two. I'd give it two more.
Tom?
Yes, sir.
What did you do when you were drunk?
Oh, jumped out of an airplane.
Jumped out of an airplane?
Yes, sir.
When commercial flight?
No, when I was in the Army, I was stationed at Fort Stewart, Georgia. I was in the 1st Ranger Battalion, and we had a training jump the following day. Well, it's a good idea. We all had a good idea and went out and got polluted drunk. I drank quite a bit more than everybody else. We went and did the training jump, and I have no recollection of it.
Well, that's nice. But but you jumped out, so you stayed up late. What time did you go to bed?
No, I didn't. As far as I know, I didn't. Most of the night is kind of a blur.
Right.
I remember going to the bar with the guys, and we went to a topless bar for a while, and then we went to another bar, and then I don't remember much after that.
What time did they wake you up for the jump?
Oh, I think we had to be there by 4:30 a.m. So we just went straight there, and my buddies told me that they got me suited up, got my chute on me, because I was out of it, you stand in line, you hook up, and the guy behind you is pushing you out the door. So
yeah, that paratrooper type, that military jumping is no good because you don't get the free fall part; you get the static line part. Got that guy yelling, "Go, go!" and the chute opens inside the plane. It actually opens, like, as a toenail gets outside of the plane, the chute's already open. That's no fun. Bunch of guys jumping behind you. But I would argue that if you're going to do something you don't want to do, you may as well just get loaded, not remember it.
Yeah, good point.
Let's talk to, Buddy Ran Bum Over. That sounds good.
Ooh.
Glenn?
Yeah, how you doing, Adam?
Your buddy ran a bum over?
Yeah, man, when I was about 17 years old, man, just before I got out of high school, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, you know, if you think about bums, they look like asphalt or just ass. They got the beard, they got the mangy hair, they always, whatever they wear, whatever color it formerly was, it was, you know, they don't wear a lot of pastels. You don't see a lot of light blue and orange on bums. They wear, if you picture your typical bum, especially during winter time, he's wearing clothing. It's not black. It's not gray. It's not brown. It's all of those things. It's sort of street camouflage.
Right.
Absolutely. And then you get the huge, big, long beard. None of them have blonde hair. Oftentimes, they're people that are a little bit darker than the Irish. And that dude is lying in a gutter. He is the gutter. You don't see that guy.
That's hilarious.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to start a product. You know, if you go to the auto parts store and you go down where you buy the waxes and the detailers and stuff like that, they have stuff to remove tar. They have stuff to remove bird, you know, bug droppings and bird droppings. Stuff to remove bums.
Nice.
From your bumper?
Cleans. Yeah. 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 Bumper. Protector.
Or maybe we should start using bums as bumpers.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, boy, she was nothing. It was actually a female, and she was, man, it was pretty pretty horrific, but when you're 17, man, and you're that drunk, and it's 3 a.m., man, it's pretty funny. Dude.
what happened? It was a female bum.
All right, this
female
is
driver
happened.
Or female
long
bum?
Long story short, Adam, this is what happened, my man. It's 2 in the morning. We can no longer get beer. None of us are 21. We have to fish for beer. Okay, everyone's familiar with that. You pay somebody for money.
I hope he said fish
store,
instead
right?
of fist. Yes.
Yes. That's a war story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a war story. So, you know, just bumming an alley, and it happened to be in a beach community here in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked her, Nick, I won't say his last name, my buddy Nick, we're in the back of the truck, and we said, hey, can you get us some beer? And the lady's like, yeah, well, are you going to give me money? We're like, oh, yeah. We got plenty of money here. But it turns out we basically only had enough money for an 18-pack. She goes in the store. She comes out. My buddy up front who's driving, who was actually doing the driving, she goes, Glenn, grab that beer from her and let's go, man. He's all, let's go. We got to go. She's all, where's my money? I jump out. I rip it from her. And then I hop back in the truck. And my buddy, he backs up in this parking lot. And she just starts beating on the hood of his truck. Like, where's my money? All crazy and sporadic, all dirty. Like,
is this Joe Rogan?
He just guns it right at her, and she has nothing to do. She's trying to back up, and it looked like she just got sucked in like a vacuum. And it peeled out on her like a speed bump, and it just peeled out on her. On
that's
the back
good
tire,
stuff.
And she was just screaming.
That's another good idea there. Why do we waste money on these speed bumps when we have homeless?
Why don't we just throw bums in front? You know,
yeah.
Throw bumps.
So what did you ever find out what became of her?
I never did. As a matter of fact, Adam, we looked and looked. I checked the news, local papers, things like that. Nothing ever came of it. But I'll tell you what, I do know
what happened. That bum's name was Condoleezza Rice. Oh, yes. And you were in a world of hurt now. She used that experience to sober up and propel herself toward Washington.
You guys are awesome. I got to say, Adam, I love your show, man. I listen every morning.
Thanks,
on the way
Glenn.
To work, man.
You keep running over them bums.
Look at what Tad wrote on the description. Look at that.
Buddy ran a bum over.
Look at how he spelled bum.
Yeah.
B-U-M-B.
Well, he's from England.
Hey. B-U-M-B.
Passed out. Ooh, guy had sex with two chicks and passed out. There's another one. Let's see. Friend with a gun. Killed a friend with a gun?
Well, that should be
fun. That sounds good. John? This is good stuff. What happened, John?
These two best friends were at a gun range, you know, the professional type where you go for a couple days and learn how to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And friend number one walks in, and friend number two is quick draw practicing with friend number one's really expensive gun.
Well, where are you?
Huh?
Where are you when this is going down?
This is a secondhand story.
Who knows these guys?
Who knows them?
Do you know these guys? All right.
Get to the guy that had sex with the two women.
Yeah. Look, I don't need any urban mess. I mean, listen, I appreciate everything, but look, this is your drunken stories, or at least what one of your buddies did while you were standing next to him. Not, I don't know either one of the two guys, but I heard once upon a time there was two teenagers making out in a van in the forest, and there was an escaped convict who had a hook for a hand.
Right.
I don't
it's
want
not
any
a
of that crap.
Story.
Yes. Sorry, Tad, but that's not the way this show works. Let's see.
He is D-U-M.
Damage, passed out. Yeah, I'd like to hear that. I got that. Jimmy.
Hey, good morning.
Give us your story.
All right. You know, through college, I partied a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But my parties that ended up with drinking sake just ended up perfectly going awry.
Mm-hmm, the sake parties.
Yeah, sake bombers. So we all went out to see my buddy's band play. Before we went, we decided to go get about 3 or 4 rounds of sake.
Mm-hmm.
So I got lit. At the bar, it's his band, so we're all drinking pretty much for free. So I'm horrifically lit. I ended up getting in a fight with his drummer.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled me out of the bar and said, okay, let's just go to a party. So continued to drink and drink and drink, and finally got to the party, and that's about all I remember. So at the time, my girlfriend told me, well, she picked me up. And
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank are going to be on in about 3 hours and 15
this
minutes.
This so is we longer gotta, than Mel Gibson's drinking band.
Okay, okay. This one up just I'll a little bit.
Story. Well, anyway, so here's the story. She gave me a recap of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she came up to the party to pick me up.
Spalding Gray over here.
I swam to Cambodia and back.
Sorry,
I'm
going to
kill
ahead.
Myself like him.
Me too.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jimmy. What, where's the part where you had sex with the two ugly chicks?
All right, so, I think the best part is I was sleeping underneath the car. It was wintertime. It was the only warm part of the night, was trying to fit myself underneath the lowrider car. Then I woke up, you know, the next morning. She told me what happened. I called my buddy. He said, hey, dude, you screwed some nasty fat girls. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't remember.
You don't remember. And where did the lowrider car come in, underneath the lowrider car come in?
Well, there's two stories that I got from a friend. So one from my girlfriend at the time said, hey, she picked me up at the party. I was sleeping outside underneath the car trying to get warm. And then I called my buddy to ask, hey, why'd you let me outside? Why was I outside? I don't remember it. I don't remember a damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, well, you were screwing out of these two fat girls and ended up puking on one of them. And I guess you just left outside.
Under the lowrider car.
Yeah.
All right, because it's
warm.
Tough to squeeze under lowrider car. Hence,
this is damn exciting stuff.
All right. I don't know who to blame. My parents, Tad, the callers.
All of the above.
Yeah. They always do that thing, you know, always have these meetings after the show. Hey, we got to work in more calls.
Good thing. Spalding Gray called this 8-hour monologue about drinking under a car that made no sense.
Great story.
All right. I think we peaked with the part where the guy ran over the bum.
That was good.
Eric. Who's good here? I got to go out on a high note here. Eric?
Yes, man.
You did $10,000 worth of damage to your car?
This story gets better and better as it goes, but I'm hungover right now, so bear with me. This was the night of the third. Like, I'm underage. I just got my fake ID. I'm on top of the world. Say, oh, let's go hit the bar. Hitting the bar really, really hard there for about 5 or 6 hours. I don't know any better. I'm driving up, and there's a little bonfire party going on with my friends. Go there, drink a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stumbling drunk, trying to leave. Everybody's, oh, you know, let me take your keys. And I threaten physical violence to get my keys back. I'm fine. I'm going home. So driving all alone, empty road, and this is peeking into the very wee hours of the morning. We're talking 6, 7 in the morning. I'm driving down an empty road listening to your show. I pick up my phone to give you a call. Look up, the road curved to the left, went to the right, and went through an infantile chain link fence, hit a big old pile of dirt going about 45. I broke my nose in 3 places, concussion, dislocated my jaw, almost bit through my tongue, 14 stitches in my mouth and 6 in my nose.
Nah, mouth is stronger. What, yep. Not wearing a seatbelt?
Of course not.
What kind of car were you driving?
04 F-150.
So driving a truck, was it totaled?
I'm still waiting. Oh, here's the great part. I didn't know at the time that I wasn't insured.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go in and commit a felony in the insurance side of it to get it fixed. And the insurance company is fixing it now.
And it's going to be $10,000 to get the thing running right.
And I'm driving one of their rental cars right now.
All right.
Did he say he was trying to call into the Adam Carolla show when he veered off the road?
I think he did say that.
What was the topic that you were trying to call in about?
I couldn't tell you, Teresa.
It was loaded.
Loaded. I didn't matter. I just wanted to talk to the ace man.
Well, now you've done it. It was all worth it, wasn't it?
You know what? The scars will heal. I'm talking to the God on Earth, Adam Carolla, right now.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, the God on Earth has to make a whiz, so I'm going to cut it short. But now it's come full circle. Hakuna Matata, my friend.
Thank you.
You see? We went out on a high note.
Yep.
That was a high note.
Here's $10. Never call the show again.
Surgery.
He bit through his tongue.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. I do like this segment, and I do want to hear everyone's personal drunken stories. I'm going to figure out how to do this, because I feel like we could dedicate an entire show to this.
True.
Or certainly make it Drunken Story Wednesday or something.
I like it.
And we try to create new memories by getting drunk as we tell the stories.
I call it unhappy hour.
She tasted like champagne.
We'll take a quick break. News and sports coming up. T, what's coming up in the news?
Well, Mel Gibson to the Jews. My bad. We'll have more about that. Mel Gibson's career may be dead, but is Fidel Castro also dead? We will look into that and more.
After this.
...866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Word to your mothers, peeps. It's your buddy Jack Silver coming up on today's show. My old buddy Def Rat Guy's going to be in studio. And we also got, from Playboy, three of Hef's girlfriends. Hey, your Uncle Jack's no math major. That's at least six boobs. And then lots more Mel Gibson talk. And, of course, Mr. Brightside. Silver, over and out.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Jack Silver sounded a little hungover, too, man. He was over at Dimples last night.
Singing some Bon Jovi karaoke.
Well, he just calls it Jovi and Oki. Jovi Oki. Wow, we got news and sports, but still some good drunk stories here. I want to talk to Kristen, who super glued her hubby's junk. Kristen?
Oh, my good Lord, I didn't do it. It was a friend. But, yeah, she got drunk and super glued. Who's she? This woman that I know that... from out here, and actually, I'm from Pittsburgh, Dave, so there was another friend who's out there that...
This woman you know.
Yes.
No, sorry. Listen. Perhaps you didn't hear me yelling at the last... I want your drunken stories, not the ones you got on the internet. She said...
The good news is you're fired.
I'm just trying to get you good calls, man. I'm just trying to get you calls.
I understand. But they're not good calls if this didn't happen to the person I'm speaking to.
All right.
All right?
Yes, sir.
I should have made that clear when I hung up on the person 10 minutes ago for not experiencing whatever drunken story they said they experienced. I'll speak to Steve. Steve?
Yes.
I'll just tell you, it's a policy that I instituted many years ago in Loveline when people would call up and go, my friend was with somebody. And it was either maybe you were talking about you, maybe you weren't. But then you start asking questions. Well, what happened? And they don't have answers because they weren't there. That's why it's not a good story.
I hear you.
Go ahead. Although next time we could open the lines and people could talk to us about what they think was going on with Mel Gibson. But I'd rather talk to Mel Gibson. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Go ahead, Steve. You're covered in fertilizer?
Yes, sir. This happened over in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I was working as a stocker over at a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And the boss, it was like his ritual. He would close the shop down, and then he would bring a case of beer out, and we would drink it out in the front of the friggin' store.
Yeah.
And I was, like, amazed. I was, like, young. I was, like, heck, free beer, why not? You know, so we're drinking the stuff. We're throwing the empty bottles out in the parking lot just to hear them explode like light bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
And we start doing all this macho BS stuff, like who's the strongest, you know, who's got the longest, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we're stacking. We had a box of fertilizer, bag of fertilizer. Uh-huh. And we're like, well, how many can I stack on top of you? You know, we're holding it. And I think I got up to about six of them.
On top of your what?
We're basically holding it like you're picking someone up in a cradle, you know.
Oh, I see, yeah. Like you're cradling them, right?
Right. So I got up to about six of them. And I was like, all right, you can do one more, you know. They're cheering me on. And the guys are stacking the seventh one up. They're like, one, two. And they don't put it up there gently.
Yeah,
okay?
They toss it
up. They land it and gravity kills. And the freaking, my legs just buckle under me. The whole column lands on top of me. The bottom bag splits open and just fertilizer. I'm wedged. It's a fertilizer sandwich.
So you're covered in fertilizer.
And I'm just covered in this freaking, I'm telling, you know, they're laughing like crazy. Sure. I'm my air, I can't breathe. I'm gasping. It's like, get this crap off of me. And I'm just getting consumed by this fertilizer.
Turned into Bill Cosby for a second.
Joe Pudding. Anyway. Yeah.
All right. Anyway. All right. That's decent. Good.
Thank
That's
you.
Give it a good solid 5.
Yeah.
5.5.
What's the hobo power for having, that much manure dumped on you?
Fertilizer, while in the S department, is nothing but, alfalfa and hay and stuff that's been passed through a cow or a horse or whatever. It doesn't have the punch that we get when we eat ourselves some chimichangas or breakfast burrito, So it's
not even double digits.
Yeah, then right. It gets sort of dried out, and it's really somewhere between dirt and lawn clippings, so it's not so bad. All right. Let's, now Scott says he shot a friend.
Was it a friend of a friend?
Let's figure this out. Was it with a pellet gun, Scott?
No, it was with a .357 Magnum. It wasn't me. It was my friend Bob. I was standing behind him. We went to Tucson to visit a friend. Mm-hmm. Sitting around his apartment, we were getting drunk, and we decided to go out and go shooting. Shane had a 9mm, and Bob had a .357. In Tucson, it's legal for 3-year-olds to carry a gun.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We decided to take the shotgun out and go to the desert, have some fun. Bob's looking around the desert, and he finds this little quarter-inch thick steel silhouette target, and he decides to shoot it, so he sets it on a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if everybody that knows Bob knows when Bob does something, you get out of the way, or you stand behind him, or you just somewhere out of the way of what Bob's doing.
Yes.
Well, Shane's on the other side of Bob's truck loading his clip for the 9mm, mm-hmm. and Bob fires off his gun, hits this silhouette target, and you hear the old movie, ka-ching, the ricochet.
Right.
On the other side of the truck, you hear Shane say the F-word as loud as he can. You go running around there, and Shane's bent over, and he got shot in the Adam's apple, and you can see the burn circle mark where the bullet hit, and you can see the flattened bullet, which was flattened from the silhouette target. Bob shooting a, mm-hmm. a piece of steel with a .357 against a rock. What's it going to do? It's going to come back at you.
Sure. Hit you Shane can't run fast enough. Yeah.
Hit Shane in the Adam's apple. He's got a scar to this day.
But it never entered his throat.
No.
All right.
Thank God, no.
All right. He didn't shoot him intentionally. It's just his...
I don't know.
You'd have to be quite a marksman to figure that that ricochet out. All right.
Vice President has a similar story.
Yes.
Bombing booze and guns.
Yes. All right. Tad, maybe the problem is with the labeling, because when I hear shot a friend or glued junk, I assume it's the person I'm talking to that actually did the shooting or the gluing or was the recipient of the bullet.
Could Tad make the same mistake a third time? Is that possible?
No. Impossible. All right, but at least he was actually on the premises.
Right. Step up.
All right. Shall we move forward and do a little news with Teresa Strasser? Yes, we should.
Well, 10 Hezbollah guerrillas are dead in what was the deepest ground strike into Lebanon so far. This, according to Israeli sources, Hezbollah struck back today, firing at least 150 rockets across northern Israel, killing at least one, wounding 17. The good news is, according to the Israeli ambassador to the United States, this conflict may be nearing an end. Larry King asked him just how long he thought the violence might last.
Well, I do not want to term it in precise time, whether it's days or weeks, but I would say it's closer to days than to weeks.
So that's good.
That's close right.
To days.
100 million days.
Those are days.
Right. Yeah. They're gonna stop hating Jews probably Friday this week at the latest Monday. Yeah. This is all gonna blow over because they're gonna start loving the Jews over there. Yeah. This will never go on.
By the way,
I'll never stop making this horrible joke.
Right.
It'll never end either.
What about the guy who got drunk in the desert and shot his friend's Adam's apple?
Yeah,
definitely
not a Jew.
That's what I thought.
The other thing I like, I've seen a few news stories where they do that. Is this the end of days? A lot
right.
of people say the Bible says this is a news story. The Bible says that maybe this is the end of days.
When the Bible come out?
Why? Because the Jews are going at it with the Arabs. Stop the presses. This is news.
I don't. It has nothing to do with biblical.
Global warming.
I'm very worried.
Global warming.
Yes.
Yeah. What should we do, by the way, when some of these guys want to start assembling a little nuclear arsenal? All you lefties out there, just stand back. Let them do what they got to do. It's their culture. Just let them do. Why should we be the world's police force? Huh?
Well,
all right, let him get the nuclear arsenal together.
The point is,
we don't have the right.
The point is, who gives you the right? Iraq is not doing that. There are nations that are doing it. Is the point?
Let's get out.
We don't do anything. You don't have the right. We go after Iraq. That's the point.
You don't have the right to intervene.
Let's talk about Cuba.
You're not the world's police.
Cuban leader Fidel Castro has released a statement saying that his health is stable and that he's in good spirits. Meanwhile, some Cuban exiles in Miami seem to think that the leader is actually dead.
It'd be nice.
Well, dead or alive, he is the world's longest ruling head of government. And you know, there are only 5 remaining communist countries. Laos, Vietnam, China, North Korea, and of course, Cuba.
Yeah, just put them all down. Look, I was watching the news this morning. You know, you hear all the beautiful guys driving around their electric cars with their stickers that, you know, Bush is a Nazi and Bush is this and Bush is comparing Bush to Hitler and that kind of stuff. Any bad words for Castro? Anyone want to pipe up? That's why we stopped listening a long time ago. That's how it works. This guy's a tyrant. This guy's evil. And yet, left won't say anything bad about the guy. Nothing. Can't judge. But Bush, he's Hitler. Fantastic. Keep talking. Let me get my steno pad out, you geniuses.
Well, speaking of Hitler, he hated the effing Jews. And Mel Gibson, while intoxicated, said something similar. Mm-hmm. Now he's saying he's really, really, really sorry. Three days after issuing a kind of a general apology, which was to, quote, anyone I have offended. I think that was before he realized that somehow there was an audio recording of what he actually said. He came out yesterday with a more specific apology to, quote, everyone in the Jewish community. Gibson's statement reads, in part, quote, please know from my heart that I'm not an anti-Semite. He asked Jews for help on his path for healing. Now, his new approach seems to be working, because you might recall that the Jewish leaders did not accept his apology, the initial apology. Now, the head of the Anti-Defamation League says he accepts the new and revamped apology from Mel Gibson and says, this is Abe Foxman from the Anti-Defamation League.
Abe.
Abe says, I call him Abe. His name's Abraham.
Uh-huh.
He says, quote, we welcome his efforts to repair the damage caused.
I wonder, you know, I'm picturing your Al Sharptons and your Jesse Jacksons of the world just sitting back going, how do we get mixed? How do we throw our hat into this ring? How do we throw our fur fedora into this ring? We got to somehow get in. Somehow. They're silent. I know they're not sure what to do at this point, but yet there's white people arguing. There's been racial slurs thrown around. How do we get involved? I picture Al Sharpton like standing outside of one of those double Dutch jump rope things, just standing, you know, before you jump in, you got to stand.
Yes, he's waiting for his moment.
When do I get in? I got to make some kind of statement.
Meanwhile, I don't know what it's going to take for Gibson, but I'm picturing the Gibson, I'm sorry, wing over at the Wiesenthal Center.
Old habits die hard.
Okay, well, last comic standing, which we learned from our call-in prisoner. We can't say his name's Prisoner X, I think we call him, and we can't say what prison he's from. But I was shocked to find out that the favorite show in prison is Last Comic Standing. For the prisoners listening, doing hard time, little recap for you. Michelle Ballin, gone. And Caroline Ray made a guest appearance with a timely, timely joke. Let's see how she did with her Mel Gibson joke.
I just saw that Mel Gibson has a new movie, Apocalypto. It's about the end of his career.
She only had a day or two. She did her best.
What's she doing? Wasn't she taking over for Rosie or somebody? What the hell's going on?
7 years ago.
She hosts The Biggest Loser. It's an NBC show.
Ah, yes, that's right.
They try to lose weight. Yeah.
I know. I saw her at the Arclight Movie Theater a few weeks back, and I did that thing. Whenever I recognize somebody I know, I try to keep walking. I'll even do it in my house. I see my wife coming down the hall.
Avert your eyes.
Stare at your feet and keep moving. Walk with purpose, I say to myself. Yeah, because to me, the most uncomfortable thing in the world is to run into somebody I know, even if I'm on good terms with them. I have no idea. It's my greatest fear is going somewhere and running into someone I either went to high school with, know professionally, work with, had a formal relationship with, some way, shape, or some type of relationship with running into them. I don't know why that is. I like Caroline Rice. She likes me, but I spotted her out of the corner of my eye. She's eating lunch with a few of her friends up at the Arclight Theater. They got a little cafe there. And, oh, there's Caroline Ray. So I better keep walking.
Duck I'll look into that down, little bookstore.
Turn my collar up, pull my hat down, and I'll keep walking. I walk around. It, basically, here's the mode I'm in. The Fugitive. Remember Harrison Ford after he escaped? That's what I do. When he was going into the hospital, I walk through the hospital like Harrison Ford walked. That's how I go through life. Like they're just walking around, just looking at a clipboard.
What is that? I do the same thing I say to Cindy, my wife, every time we're out. Like, oh, Jesus, I just hope we don't run into... We should go see the big blockbuster this weekend. Yeah. No, there's a better likelihood we're going to run into someone I don't want
to. Because it's especially people I like. I feel like if they like me, I don't want to have another conversation and risk falling out of favor. Let's just leave on top and never run into anybody again.
That's why I never answer the phone. For the same I think people expect something out of you. Yeah, I disappoint.
Yeah, I'd say for me, it's just we all have a glass half empty approach to life, which is I could run into somebody. Maybe the last time I talked to this person was me saying I'll call you after we had some sex, and I never called them. What, like, this could be uncomfortable. They could have something on me. Whatever it is. What good could, how could this help? And it certainly could possibly hurt. So that's right. But Caroline Ray screamed my name. Evidently, she's not one of these people.
Right.
Screamed my name from 20 feet away, sitting with a group of 10 of her friends. I'm across the courtyard, echoing through the canyon, birds flying away in the canyons. And I had to, of course, come address it. And then she told me that her husband was a big fan of mine, and I felt better.
That's
but
sweet.
Then I continued thinking like that the next time I left the house.
Sounds like you have mental problems, man.
Yes.
Well, Kid Rock, as you probably heard, just got married to Pamela Anderson over the past weekend. But his last girlfriend, a 22-year-old former Miss Illinois, is coming out. She has issue with Kid Rock. She alleges that Kid dumped her in June in the worst possible way. The last refuge of scoundrels, the text message. And there's some speculation about the timing of the text. Because there was a few days there where Kid and Pamela were rekindling their relationship on a yacht in Saint-Tropez. You might have seen pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do the math, that text may have been sent from the yacht. So yeah. This poor Miss Illinois.
Be nice. I don't know if they're planning kids, but it'll be nice one day when they have a nice slutty daughter. And it's like, you're going to get married in the thong back that mother got married in. Now put this on, sweetie.
So sentimental.
Yeah.
Something old, something blue, something that goes up your ass.
Do marriages in bathing suits ever last?
You say no.
I say no.
Well, lastly, and this will lead right into sports, Derek Jeter going to be pitching a new fragrance. He developed it. He'll be modeling an ads for it.
He developed it.
Yes. It's called Driven.
Mm.
And I'm sure you'll all be
Look, let me ask this. Am I so far off of the society that we currently live in? Like, tell me how far off I am. When I see these spots, these commercials, these news stories, this guy's coming out with his own scent, so-and-so's dropping a record who doesn't sing or rap or whatever, and I think to myself, who on the goddamn green earth would ever get near this? I would never buy that. I would never. There was never in a kabillion years he would not sell one unit. Who, other than Brusca's friends from New Jersey, is buying this stuff?
Would they buy? I mean, what does he know? He knows about being a shortstop.
It's Jeter. He's awesome.
Athletes smell. That's the only thing they do wrong is they stink.
Jeter rules.
I already got some.
All right. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that is the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Brusca still wears his rusty Staub cologne.
Didn't Jordan have a cologne at one point?
Everybody comes out with something. Liz Taylor, whoever.
White diamonds.
Whoever. But whenever I think that, I think, who the F ever buys this stuff? And then you realize they're selling millions of units. And, well, there you go.
All right, let's talk about the pastime. What happens on the field?
Mm.
Not making sense that smell like Jeter's jockstrap.
Hard to Halos. Make sense out of sense.
Halos and Athletics been going at it in the OC.
Mm.
Sort of like Misha Barton does on that show. I don't know what. I've never seen it. Difference was Halos pitcher Joe Saunders, the young southpaw, got the call down on the farm to fill in for injured Bartolo Cy Young. Saunders twirled a gem. Halos win at 3-2. Battle for first in the AL West continues today at the Big A. Mariners shut out in Baltimore Senior Circuit. Dodgers laid the pipe to the Cincinnati's last night. 10 runs for the new look boys in blue. You know, a lot of people been talking about the most unbreakable record in sports now that the, you know, the sixth Maris' home run record. Mm-hmm. It's like Aaron's all-time home run record.
Well, the most unbreakable one is the 2 grand slams in one inning.
That's a good point. Yeah,
whose record is that?
Some guy you've never heard of.
I think it might be Willie McCovey would be my guess.
Carlos Baerga.
Carlos Beltran. Was it Beltran?
I'm almost positive.
No, Baerga might be right.
It is a little known guy from a country not our own.
I will research it.
Point is, nobody could hit 3. Is it? It's not Matt. Sorry for stepping all over your ass, but it's impossible to hit 3 grand slams in an inning.
A virtual impossibility, yes.
I will go out on a limb and say it'll never happen.
Fernando Tatis.
Oh. Fernando Tatis of the Cardinals.
Carlos Baerga hit 2 grand slams from opposite sides of the plate. First
what did Willie McCovey do? He has some record as far as 2 home runs in an inning go.
Point is, that'll never be broke because no one will hit 3. I'd be surprised if anyone hit 2 grand slams in one inning.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Well, but the legendary ones are, you know, the 61 forever stood, you know, and 755. And Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. Philly second baseman Chase Utley is now 33. Has a 33-game hit streak. So if my math is correct, he's exactly halfway home.
Exactly. Yeah.
NBA schedule is out. Kobe and Co. will once again get to spend Christmas with their old pal Shaq Fu, who I'm sure you recall won the NBA crown along with his fancy new pals just a couple months ago. Third straight year, these two teams have celebrated the birth of Christ by playing hoops. I hope Gibson will be out of rehab in time to watch it. By the way, Devin George is a Laker no more, on his way to the Mavericks, wooed by Mark Cuban. And... you know, I still wait with bated breath for the start of the NFL season.
That'll be great.
The Dolphins, who will begin their season on the banks of the Three Rivers against the world champion Steelers, have a great thing going on right now. Jason Taylor, their defensive end, is married to Zach Thomas, the linebacker's sister. And now they're getting divorced.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of talk about what's going to happen, team chemistry. No, and Jason Taylor said, it's not going to be a big deal. Come on, I'm a professional.
Right.
Yeah, how do you think Zach Thomas feels? He's been silent to this point on the issue. I'll tell you who the loser is in the equation, though, Ace. Take a look at this Katina Taylor, the sister and wife. Ooh la la. What are you thinking, Jason Taylor? You're not doing better than that.
No, she looks like Heidi Klum, kind of.
Yeah.
Thanks. Well, this is something we're going to have to keep an eye on, though.
All right.
A close eye.
Dave Tamashek's number one sports.
I don't know. You'd think she'd be built like a jukebox because of her brother.
Right, she's a twig.
Brother's neck is wider than his ears, and she's beautiful.
Fox.
My wife, by the way, offended when I, you know, I have the twins, the girl and the boy. The girl is petite. She's a petite little flower.
Is she cute in the face?
She's super cute, and she has this little small features and everything. The boy is a load. And when he's twice her size, he is just a load. When you pick him up, you know, you don't realize it. You know, you talk all the time. You see the difference between Big Tad and Bill, you know, pre-op, board-op Bill over here. But you don't have to carry them from room to room. If you had to carry them, you would really know the difference. You can tell by looking, but wait till you start schlepping them up and downstairs. Then you know the kid's a load. I don't, you know, I got to use one of those things Indians would transport the dead in, dragging behind a horse just to drag.
What's he weigh, the little guy?
It seems like a couple hundred pounds, it feels like, me dragging him up the stairs.
Do you actually know what he weighs?
Let's put it this way. I put him in his little crib, and I carry the girl, and I just kick him out in front of me, slide him out in front. I described him to my wife, who was offended yesterday, as being built like a butt plug. The kid...
he's compact.
He's meaty and short, you know? And she was like, why do you have to... And I was like, look, it's, first off, I'm not going to put it on a license plate and wire it to his bicycle when he's 9. Right. And then secondly, he's not an actual butt plug, but he is built... It's built like a good butt plug, if anyone's seen one. Sort of pointy around the head and then large
and she didn't
around
like
the
that.
Waist. No.
The little girl's cute. That's the important thing.
Let me talk to Ron real quick. Ron?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
I'm intrigued by your phone call, but I'm not sure what it is.
Okay, Damashek, you there?
Hello?
All right, you can pay me now, or I could just tell Adam how the interview went last night with Big O.
Uh-oh.
Over here in Phoenix.
Mm-mm.
Why, how'd it go? Oh, yeah, I talked to Big O and Dukes, the new Big show on Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, he was the star. Now, I'll tell you how bad that show went. He was the star of the whole thing. And he was kind of calling you kind of a wussy. You got to go to bed early.
No, I mean, that's out of context,
no,
Adam. Adam, that was not, I didn't mean, I was just trying to ingratiate myself to my new friends.
Perhaps we should try to get some tape on that. What else was he saying, Ryan?
He was actually trying to do his sports gig over here, which, once again, nobody cared about.
Oh.
They asked me what I thought of the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, Ron, listen, I didn't put you on the phone to bash Dave Damashek, but continue.
Okay. Not to mention, he's a huge drunk. The guy was
really?
He's sitting at home with a kegerator in his underwear under a small light bulb.
He does have a kegerator at home.
All I said was this.
Yes.
I said that they said, well, you must be ready for bed now because the show's on between 8 and midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you must be ready for bed. And I said, no, you know, Nancy boy Corolla, he may lay his head down, but not me. I get ready. I stay up all night drinking the whiskey under a naked light bulb thinking about life. I just sit there in my underpants and cry now and again.
I know Dave has great respect for me. And I would not hold anything you said against me. Unlike a lot of radio show hosts, a lot of people, it's interesting, a lot of people go out and try to find stuff that people said about them, either on the internet, in interviews, LexisNexis, whatever. I actually try to talk people out of information that they bring to me about horrible things that other people said about me, which is, I'll take it a step further. I don't want to know, I'm not interested, don't care.
You want to know?
I have no idea what that gene is in people that gets them to put their name in to the LexisNexis thing and figure out what so-called friends or celebrities said horrible things about them during an interview. I want to stay as far away as I can from
it. It was not. This guy's trying to make trouble. But
of course.
Big O and Dukes, nice fellas and big fans of yours, Ace.
Oh, well, I give them my love and perhaps I'll talk to them myself next time. We'll take a quick break. Jackie Mason. Legendary comic Jackie Mason and Super Jew. Jackie Mason is going to call in and comment about this whole Mel Gibson thing. I saw his one-man show.
It's supposed to be great.
Well, I saw his first one about 20 years ago or something out here. It was fantastic. We'll talk to him after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
Hey, Pop Top. Hey, Silverbird, I'm talking to you.
Huh?
Listen, you want to be president of Texaco Oil?
Sure.
Then clean up the sink in there.
Then I'll be president of Texaco Oil?
What about happening to working your way up?
But, sir, I don't work here.
Not even for $1.10 an hour?
Comedian Jackie Mason on the Adam Carolla Show.
Jackie Mason's on the phone. Good to talk to you again, Jackie.
Yes, sir, my friend. How do you do, sir? How do you do? It's a lucky thing I'm here. It would have sounded pretty funny if you're saying hello and then nobody showed up.
Yeah, it's nice. Although it would be a mitzvah for some of our callers.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Like the way I worked that in?
I see. I see. Every time a Jude says B, right away a Jewish voice comes out as if to say, ha-ha. So you've got nothing to be nervous about, I'm with you.
It's like when I hang around black guys and I say man all the time.
Right.
Man, white. You got to listen to me, man. Okay, man?
That's what white people do.
Officer,
all, all of a sudden, they start walking like them and bouncing around the street. And they look for every excuse in the world to say of a black friend they had 63 years ago. and he was not like other black people. He never stole his furniture.
I know. I do that. I do that. David Alan Greer is my only black friend, and I weave him into every conversation I have with a person of color, even with David.
Okay.
I'll say, you know, David Alan Greer is a friend of mine, and he'll go, I know, I am David Alan Greer. Well, you understand. And then I give the soul power fist. Jackie Mason.
So why are you not doing bad? You're hired me, and you're already telling the jokes.
Sorry for stepping on you, Jackie.
That's all right. I came here to listen to you. I don't hear you in New York. This is my only chance to hear your show.
Thank you.
That's why I had you call me. I didn't want to talk to you. I wanted to listen.
He's so sweet.
Now, I'll tell you why we called Jackie Mason, because we're talking to Jimmy Kimmel yesterday, and we're talking about this whole Mel Gibson situation, and we spoke to a rabbi from Israel yesterday, and he said, why not talk to a funny Jew? And he said, why not somebody funny like Jackie Mason? And here he is. Jackie became an ordained rabbi at age 25. Are you still a rabbi? Do you hang on to that mantle?
Well, you never lose the title if you became a doctor at a certain time, or a dentist, or anything else. An engineer, you don't lose the license. It just means you're doing something else if you're doing something else.
So you're once
so
a rabbi.
That I'm doing something else, but once a rabbi, you're always a rabbi. Yeah.
And what do you think about the whole Mel Gibson controversy?
I think it's a big issue about nothing, if you want to know the truth. I know it sounds like a strange position for me to take, because every Jew is sitting around enjoying the fury that they could express about this, because it makes everybody feel important, and everybody could enjoy themselves trying to knock out a person with that much money and that great stardom. Mm-hmm. People are basically subconsciously or consciously, oh, I don't want to become a psychiatrist now, but people are basically jealous, bitter, and envious of anybody who's that rich. They pretend to be enjoying it, but as soon as there's a slightest fall, they love it. All the sick, sadistic complexes anybody ever had comes out when they watch a billionaire all of a sudden cave in. It equalizes your relationship with him. Instead of idolizing him, you're now in a position to wipe him out. So it's a power trip for every sickness anybody ever had.
Well, I do agree to a certain extent. On the other hand, he said
he did say an anti-Semitic thing, but he was in a drunken stupor at the time. If everybody was in a drunken stupor, said an ugly, disgusting thing, there wouldn't be one person out of jail right now. Everybody would either be in a cemetery or in a hospital. Because nobody holds anybody responsible for what they said when they were drunk.
So,
people call their own mother a whore when they're drunk. They tell their father they heard he was a pimp in Philadelphia. They might say anything.
Jackie.
People throw chairs at each other. That doesn't mean that people say, they say about their own children, I'd love to see them dead. Does that mean everybody who says anything obnoxious is going to be put in jail or destroyed?
He really knows you.
I don't know what kind of Passover seders you've been going to.
Yeah. By the way, I call my mother a tramp when I'm drunk.
I happen to know a close friend of his, Pat Boone. And he was on my show. I have a talk radio show. And he was on my show with me. And Pat Boone is known by all the Jews as a great Jew lover, because he crusaded all his life for Jews and for Israel, and he still does. He's one of the Christian right that are avid, intense supporters of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me that Mel Gibson is one of his dearest, closest friends for 25 years. And he says in his behavior, he never saw the slightest attitude of anti-Semitism. He's at every Jewish affair, every Jewish party. He chose to live in a Jewish neighborhood. Why does he live in Hollywood among all the Jews if he hates Jews so much? There's a lot of people who make pictures in Hollywood, but they live in Utah.
Robert Redford.
Jackie Mason, by the way, on the phone. I was surprised and am surprised to hear you take this angle.
I like it.
I like it, too.
Because I think it's one big sickness. People love to wipe out whoever's a sensation. If tomorrow Donald Trump was found out to have only 80 cents in the bank, it would be a party in every household in America.
Yes. Schadenfreude.
If you got hit by a truck, they'd be even happier.
No, I know. The whole envy thing is really, it's out of control. And, yes, people wear it on their sleeve as well. They're like, I'm glad to see that guy drop down a notch. He thinks his poop doesn't stink.
It's a feeding frenzy every time a sensational character or a big star or a huge power, like anybody with big money or anything, is all of a sudden collapses. If they found out that Angelina Jolie, that face is not even hers, it's her brother-in-law.
Yeah. still do her, by the way. Or him, as it were. What on a more serious topic, what about Hezbollah and what's going on in Lebanon?
Well, today the Israelis had a huge, phenomenal victory. They surrounded them and pulled off one of those great Israeli stunts where the out-generals, all the generals, and today all the generals are celebrating the ingenious way they did this, and it was a textbook unbelievable accomplishment, and everybody is studying the Israeli stunt from yesterday, and it's back to worshiping the Israeli generalship and marksmanship. That's today. A couple of days before that, the Israelis sounded all of a sudden a little retarded, because every time they went into a battle, they were all of a sudden surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
And so, ambushed, and I said to myself, what happened? Are they still Jewish, or did they convert? How come their minds are not working? But today they sound like geniuses again.
Jackie,
but I noticed the American press is almost all against Israel. They committed all kinds of suicide bombers against Israel, bombing innocent people in every street, in every coffee shop. Every time a Jew sat down for a sandwich, a bomb hit him right in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on for 50 years. There was never one complaint from the United Nations or from the press or from any source, from anywhere on this earth.
Mm-hmm. So you think Israel ought to continue until Hezbollah has been cleaned up or wiped out?
Well, I want to ask you a question. If you know every time you sat down to eat, there was somebody waiting to blow your brains out, wouldn't you figure you got to get to the source of this and just put a stop to it?
Yeah.
That's all Israel is trying to do, because they went in an easier way and a softer way to try to get even with them on a humanitarian side, and in a humanitarian way, not to hurt more than the person who actually did it. Then they threatened the family.
Or
they bombed their house, and they still continue. Then they bombed 12 houses, and they still continue. Now they found out that no matter 50 years later, they'll never stop it unless they get to whoever's not only doing it, but everybody surrounding them and all their partners.
Yes. Well, listen, I agree. I think what we've done as a society is we think they think like we think. Well, we'll just reason with these people. Obviously, they're upset about something we're doing. We need to straighten it out. To me, it's more like they're grizzly bears. You can't go up there and offer, here's some fresh strawberries I picked. Let's break bread over here. You're going to get your head knocked off. You just got to shoot them.
Wow.
You got to get rid of them. They don't think like we think. We think, and I think the left in this country thinks that everyone is reasonable, and that if we just are reasonable with them back and treat them fairly, well, then they won't hate us anymore. I don't think that's the case.
Right. That's exactly right. They proved it for a 50-year period in Israel. No matter what we do, no matter how we offer them all their land back, their money back, we offer them anything they want, free sandwiches for the rest of their life, whatever you want.
I would take that.
On challah bread? Yeah.
All right. Jackie, thank you for joining us. We got to go to a commercial.
God bless you. I heard about you. I never heard anything good, but I heard. So I want to wish you the best, and thanks a lot. It's a pleasure talking to you, my friend. By the way, I'm going to be in the LA area.
Oh, you are?
In December, I'm playing at the Wilshire Theater again.
I saw you at the Wilshire Theater in 1987 doing The World According to Me.
Right. Thank you.
No, thank you, Jackie. It was a great show.
Well, God bless you. I'm glad we got along. In case you need a few dollars, you give me a call.
All right, Jackie.
Come in December.
The great Jackie Mason will go see him. The Wilshire Theater, just down the street from us, by the way, over and toward Beverly Hills. We got to, interesting. I like his perspective, by the way. Not so interested in Mel Gibson, but more interested in Hezbollah.
Yeah, big picture.
Because, bigger fish to gefilte, as they would say. We'll take a quick break. We'll play a little something called Mr. Brightside. You call in. You tell me your problems. They won't be so bad. They will magically melt away after I talk to you. Also, Tom Likas is going to jump in, and we're going to tag team Sharon Pound. So me and the great Tom Likas playing a little Mr. Brightside after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. The Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for Mr. Brightside to cheer you up. You call in with a problem at 866-901-ADAM, and Adam will put a happy spin on it.
How can I cheer you up?
I had to put my cat to sleep.
You put the cat to sleep?
Yes.
Well, you got to look at it this way. All cats do is sleep anyway. This is the ultimate nap.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, I go into such a trance when I do it. I don't hear my own advice, but when it's echoed back to me that way, it does make sense. Yes, in fact, I am a genius. Tom Likas is on the phone. Tom?
Hello, Adam.
Thanks for getting up this morning, Tom. Glad to hear you're in a good mood.
Thank you.
I know. Tom comes on at 3 o'clock on just about every station we're on.
Oh, boy.
Probably more, but he gets up at the crack of dawn to start the show prep and always listens to our program.
Yes, I do.
So, Tom, you know, it was such a delight talking to you a couple of weeks ago. I just thought it'd be nice if you sort of jumped in and helped out when we did this segment.
I love that.
All right, so you just... Again, glad to hear you in such a jovial mood.
Yeah. It's cheering me up already.
Well, that's what Mr. Brightside is for. Again, it's like I said, you're feeling a little down because your car got keyed in a parking lot, or the power went out for a few minutes during a spike.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but then you turn on the news and you see what other people are having to deal with in their life. Bombs going off, polluted water, kids malnourished, and you realize, Tom, this part isn't funny.
Oh, boy.
I'm saying, as an example, you hear about that, then you feel good. You feel like an idiot complaining about your petty problems. All right, let's go. Let's start the segment, shall we?
Got problems? Need cheering up? Talk to Mr. Brightside, Adam Carolla.
Just put on a happy face.
Let's talk to Robert. Robert, what's the problem?
Well, I'm living in my car in the back of the shopping center.
Yeah, Tommy is in his car. He doesn't. I don't.
Medically precluded from doing any work.
Right.
If I did go to work, I'd have to pay back all my medical bills at about $35,000. Right now.
What is the medical problem you have, Robert?
Well, it's basically I have two disc bulge in my low back, as well as my cervical spine.
Fiendish, Tom Likas.
Well,
now.
Laughter is the best medicine. Are you feeling any better?
Right you are, Teresa.
For the moment, yeah.
Now, let me just explain, Tom. I don't think he's sitting in his Lexus 400 in a circular driveway. He's homeless.
Okay. I think he said he's living in a parking lot. Is that right?
Behind a Levitt's furniture store.
All right. Well, let me try to put a happy spin on this. First off, you're living in your car, but not on the street. Number one, a lot of folks are living in refrigerator boxes in an alley. You're in fact living in your car. Secondly,
yeah, it is out of gas though.
Can I tell you all the times? And please, those of you who have a home and an automobile, please vouch for me on this one. Tom, yourself included, I know you drive a large Lexus automobile.
Yes, I do, Adam. I certainly do, dear.
You get in your car, you drive over to work, you get to work,
yes.
and somebody says, did you remember to bring in the Johnson file? Did you remember to bring in, did you bring a coat? Because we're going to the ball game right after work, and you think, oh, I forgot it. It's at home. I don't have time to go back home now. But when you live in your car, that is your home. You never forget anything.
You need a change of clothes?
It's all right there. You want something out of the fridge? It's there. You want something in the garage? It's there. You have to go up to the attic to open grandma's trunk? It's there. So there you go.
Yes. That's one-stop shopping.
You never forget anything.
Oh, boy.
Let's talk to Rob. Rob?
That's me.
What can we put a happy spin on?
Well, in the last 6 months, I gambled away $10,000. Now I have to tell my wife tonight.
So you may get divorced tonight.
Might happen.
I say divorce that bitch.
Tom, you've been divorced many times, right?
Right you are, Dave.
Well, you've gambled away $10,000.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have $10,000 to gamble away. So you're way ahead of the curve. Yeah. Am I right, Tom?
Yes, you are. Right you are.
Let's talk to Chuck.
Tom's really taking your game to a whole new level, Coral.
I knew it would be nice to sort of, you know, it's like... if you ever see a movie before it's been scored, it's flat.
Right.
You need that musical score behind swelling during the dramatic scenes.
Your Chariots of Fire music.
Thank you there.
Chuck?
Yeah, oh, Chuck. Hello.
What's the problem?
Oh, I got a 26-year-old son, and I'm trying to help him pull himself out, but he's all seems to be lost in the pixie dust.
He's strung out. Strung out on drugs?
Well, I'm a contractor, so he's working for me for a couple weeks. I was covering his expenses and paying him $10 a day.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want him to get too much money. Mm-hmm. Well, then I gave him a couple bonuses, and then he had $300 in his pocket. He disappeared for a week. I bought him a phone so he could call me, and then I never heard from him for a week.
So
and
he's
I
doing
back and broke. And...
he's doing drugs.
That's he's doing amazing. Drugs.
Pixie, though, not even good drugs.
He's doing coke.
No. He's doing amphetamine. Coke would be okay.
He's doing meth.
Yeah.
All right, hold on a second. Tom, his son's a meth head.
Ooh-wee.
Well... Chuck.
Then I come home from work. He's already on the couch kicking back for 5 hours. Why I'm out working so he can have food and a place to, you know, come back and relax.
Well, he has a father that cares about him, which is something that a lot of meth heads can't say, right?
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much.
Yes.
You drive a truck filled with tools he can sell at pennies on the dollar to get himself a supply of meth, right?
There you go.
And he's getting started early. A lot of guys get into the meth after a divorce. They're in their 40s. Next thing you know, they're 50, and they've dried up. He'll bottom out at 27 and be back on his feet by 30. Am I right, Tom?
You are right about that, Adam. He got an early start.
Well, let's see. We don't have time to really talk to anyone else, but Tom, I can just tell you, and you can laugh along, this guy has an ex-wife that has stolen his kids. Jake's girlfriend is going away for 3 months. No sex for 3 months. This other guy, Kristen, is getting a divorce. Chris got stabbed by his girlfriend. Bob has leukemia.
Yeah. He needs to be stabbing that bitch.
Jane is clinging to death and 2 days away from dying. Larry's caught in a bear trap. He's calling from a forest. Fred's entire family was blown up by Hezbollah. All right, Tom, I'll tell you, you are now an official part of Mr. Brightside.
Oh, really?
Yes, I don't see me doing it without you.
Well, thank you.
All right. The great Tom Like is, everybody.
If you'd like to email me, my email address is my name, tom@blowmeupdom.com.
Like is on the air every day at 3 o'clock everywhere. That's enough now. Everywhere you hear my voice. We'll take a quick break. Thank you, Tom Likas. Deaf Rat Guy coming up next. And we'll be right back after this.
Oh, my.
Adam. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Long live the Delta Foods, honor, strength, and friendship.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. You think you got what it takes to be Delta Foo material? Then show up at Hooters next Thursday night, August 10th at 7 p.m. for the Deaf Frat Guys Delta Foo Gamma Rush Party.
Come improve you on Delta Foo material, because if you're not waiting, today is.
AdamCarolla.com has more details.
You may have to get your stomach pumped.
Want to pledge Delta Foo?
Delta Foo.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
I want to welcome Maverick back to the show, Deaf Frat Guy.
Hell yeah, Delta Foo.
Good to see you, Mav. So I'm excited about next Thursday and the big pledge party over at Hooters. Beer pong game. beer bongs, everything with beer, potato gun contest, wing eating contest. It's going to be awesome.
If you're not waited today,
so you're here to recruit today.
Here's the thing. I'm coming here today with Donald and Mick Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
We need recruit.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to be good.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be dead to fool worthy. I mean, bro, if you email me and you're like, dude, I hit a bomb. I should be a member of your friend because I killed a bum.
Ran over a bum earlier in the day, early in the morning. He called in, yeah.
Like, you are wasted. You're on the ace. The bum buys you beer. And then you kill him.
Right.
It's like, dude, I don't think I can extend you a bid.
You don't want anyone who runs over bums on the way to success.
Not everyone is there to fool material.
Right.
You're not desperate for.
Hell no. There's the food. Hell yeah, there's the food.
Yeah. Now, if you... Now, what about if you get drunk and roll a bum? Would that be someone you're looking for?
I have to think about that.
Okay.
But you want men and women in Delta Foo.
Hell yeah. Bros and hoes.
Oh, good.
Bros and hoes.
That's inviting.
So whether you be a bro or a hoe, and we're all technically
either
bro or a hoe, you can, or your brusket, where you're actually both, you can just head on down to a Hooters. Where? In Hollywood? Hollywood and Highland. Oh, right by Kimmel's place.
Hi-ho, ironically.
Bobby! The Hooters and Hollywood and Highland.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's Thursday, 10 o'clock. And today, we'll be taking some calls in the next segment to see if you're Delta Foo material.
Hell yeah.
So it's next Thursday, August 10th, is the big, big party, right, Maverick?
Dude, when do I look like a calendar?
Besides, she's hungover from last night.
Is Bruska Delta Foo material?
I can drink.
He's more 80 pie.
I have to get back to you. Bro, I think you are more tried out.
Oh, that's a sorority.
Oh,
harsh.
Zing. All right, we need to take a break. We're running behind. Call 866-901-ADAM if you think you're Delta Foo material. So when we come back, the vigorous screening program will begin. Yes, Maverick?
It's sometimes hard for me to read off the screen to assess if they are worthy or not.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you'll do your best?
Hell yeah, Delta Foo!
866-901-ADAM. If you think you're Delta Foo material, call that number and we'll talk to you after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Uncle Dave reads a nursery rhyme to Adam's twins.
Ba, ba, black sheep, have you any wool? One for the master and one for the dame, and one for the little boy who lives down the lane. Will you keep it down? I'm trying to read here. Hey, go spit, would you?
Call 866-901-ADAM. Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
They are delightful.
Couple of crybabies, Carolla.
Oh, they were both going at it last night. Barely. It was a real balancing act, holding one, holding the other, and trying to get to the TiVo remote and almost dropping one of them. Because I tell you, that's my real baby.
Right.
That TiVo remote.
If you could put it in one of those little holsters.
Yeah, like the
Bjorn.
Yeah, put it in a basket, ride around on my bicycle with it. All right, Def Frat Guy, Maverick, you know him as, in studio. We're taking your calls, trying to figure out whether your Delta Foo material has started his own fraternity. He's going to be, and we are going to be, because I'll be there myself, over at the Hooters at Hollywood and Highland, Thursday, August 10th. That's a week from tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, bro. I really appreciate it.
Before you take some calls, there's a story you want to tell us?
Well, it's not a story so much as what happened this weekend.
I understand.
We went to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
A meeting of the minds.
Who? Mm-hmm.
Miss Minnie and Moose. We had a meeting to write the Delta Foo Constitution.
It's important.
You had to do that in Vegas.
But we went to Vegas, and then Poochie and Mike F. want speakerphone.
Oh, I said I couldn't make the trip.
Poochie is working in New York as an intern at a big brokerage firm.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike F. is still laid out because what happened to his pelvis?
Was he the guy right. who sat on his sack? Or...
Bro, that was Poochie's uncle.
Right.
Mike F. got hit by a car.
Oh, that's right. Poochie's uncle sat on his own scrotum sack and ruptured something. And then Poochie was hit by a car.
No, bro. Mike F.
Oh, right, right. Sorry.
He was hit by a car. Maybe driven by Blake Chambers. Maybe not.
Oh, we don't know. It's a pretty serious allegation.
It is what it is, but we have to go in there. Now, we have to worry. We wrote the Constitution, but right. we also have to worry about the emergence of Chaz Chambers.
Oh, mm-hmm. Who's Chaz? A relative of Blake?
Blake's younger brother.
He was chasing him last they said. Oh. He was chasing him to pledge Delta
Phi. Who is now slowly but surely becoming a big man on campus.
So Delta... let me just reset here. Blake Chambers, arch nemesis. He's the
Fiji Rush chairman.
Right, Fiji Rush chairman.
F. Blake Chambers.
I understand, but he has his brother, his younger brother, Chaz. Not a bad kid.
So we thought.
Uh-oh.
He started to hang out with us, but not to befriend or to get wanted. To understand what makes us tick.
Wow.
Being a spy?
Get inside our mind.
A mole.
And I have reason to believe that it was Blake Chambers' brother Chaz. Uh-huh. It was his BMW that tried to shoot me with the potato gun.
Right, because you remember, I remember when you were here last week, you were in the quad at SC when you were struck by a russet potato.
Nice try, bro. I was coming out of the bar.
Sorry. I wasn't
Chaz,
listening.
You got, I feel terrible. You got suckered because a month or so ago, it looked like you were, you know, making hay with Chaz and you were going to get him into Delta Phi and this was going to be groundbreaking and that was really going to stick at the Blake Chambers, but it turns out you're the sucker.
Whoa, bro.
That's a lot of information.
Are you bummed out?
I cannot get bummed out. All we can do is move forward. And that's exactly what we did this weekend in Vegas. But I have to admit, it kind of sucked.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you banged out your constitution, the Delta Phi constitution in Vegas.
It was really hot, so we went down to the pool.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out someone had crapped in the pool. And they closed it for 2 hours.
Wow.
Oh. So we were really hot.
Uh-huh.
And Minnie's like, let's go gamble for a while. Mm-hmm. And we ended up, we pooled our money and we ended up losing a lot of money and we didn't even get much written on the Constitution.
So somebody crapped in the pool and you never banged out the Constitution.
We got wasted though.
Oh, okay.
Did you meet girls?
The ones that we met were kind of bush pigs.
They were what? Pigs?
Bush pigs.
Okay.
Bush pigs, you
Sorry.
Call them. I hadn't even heard that one.
I hadn't heard that either.
Not attractive, though, right?
Not like Ashley.
They had good bodies, but their faces were kind of... They were butter, but they were butter chick. Everything but her face.
I understand. Let's talk to Harold. Harold?
Yeah?
You think you're Delta Phi material?
I may be. I don't understand what these Delta material is. Maybe you tell me I can tell you if I Delta material.
Well, you have to drop the horrible accent first if you want to be let in the Delta Phi house.
You do not like my accent, huh?
I would like it if it was real, but it's a horrible fake accent. Here's $10. Never call the show again.
Fuck you.
Tad,
is he
you're
Delta Phi material?
You're bad a thousand.
Hey, Chaz Chambers.
That was Chaz, you think.
All right, let's talk to Nick. Nick?
Yeah.
You want to get in Delta Phi?
Yeah, I have a question. First, though, there's no Delta Phi membership in Seattle, and I'd like to know why.
Dude.
Just because I'm not in L.A., I can't be a member?
Bro, we are online. We are a universal fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
If you want
to... I need a membership over here so we can... I want to meet at some Hooters in Seattle, man.
Well, dude, get on the website and check out... How to join.
So you're saying that, I mean, Seattle is going to have its own chapter, and maybe if this caller wants to even, you know, spearhead it.
You can start the chapter in Seattle.
I mean, he's calling from Seattle, and I want to say, bro, not the Seattle chapter, but for all I know, this dude could be the Green River Killer.
No. Well, I think they caught him, by the way. Yeah. Not everyone from Seattle's the Green River Killer.
Yeah, some of them.
Maybe you'll only 50%.
There, we all know him, though.
Maverick, you'll go up to Seattle, though, and spearhead a pledge drive, right?
Hell yeah. We have a picture of two chicks making out that are from Seattle on the on the website.
What is the website?
DeathFratGuy.com.
Mm-hmm. Or if you go to AdamCarolla.com, you can get the linked over there.
Absolutely.
All right.
How do you know if that guy is material for Delta Fu? I mean, is there anything you need to know?
Good question. You have questions for him?
Mason.
Nick?
Well, I can tell you, I'm a beer driver. I deliver fun all day.
Oh.
You drive a beer truck.
Yeah,
keep talking.
Well, what else are you looking for? What? I deliver the fun.
What kind of beer do you deliver?
I don't know if it's in the best interest of my job to talk about it, but...
Does it rhyme with Heineken?
Oh, yeah, actually, it does rhyme with Heineken.
Wow. Well, there you go. A nice imported beer for you.
Yep.
What do you think, Mav?
I have two questions for this guy. His name and phone number.
All right, Nick, go to the website. And again, you know... The party at Hooters at Hollywood and Highland is in 8 days, right?
Yeah.
You can make it in that beer truck from Seattle.
It's the first in a series, though.
Right,
it's
exactly.
The first in a series. You'll also be traveling up to Seattle and elsewhere.
We would like to go to Seattle to have a pledge party.
Okay. We'll talk to... what's the matter? Are you okay?
There's no...
Something got bummed out. It bent my hearing.
Oh, I see. We'll screw around with that. Carl?
Yeah.
Carl, it says here that you put three beers in a beer bong, funneled it all at once.
Yeah, we have a triple beer bong. I did a 5-second flat triple beer bong.
Wow.
Well, that's... Yeah, I hold the record right now.
The record, bro?
Oh, yeah.
The record is 7 beers, bro.
Is that your record?
That's the record for our party house, the triple beer bong in 5 seconds flat.
So that's 36 ounces of beer in 5 seconds.
Yes.
That's solid.
It's nothing to shake your head at.
Right. It's respectable.
It's respectable, but it's like, it's saying like a guy at the gym can bench, you know, 150 pounds. But in Romania, there's some dude that can lift 800 pounds.
I understand, and you're that dude.
Yeah. And also, like the guy that just called from Seattle, I'm from Portland, which is about 2.5 hours south, and we don't have adult food up here. You know, I'd like to start a chapter up here myself.
Why not?
Bro, log into the website on the message board and be like, I'm from Portland, I want to start a chapter.
Wow, that would be a nice thing. Can you offer, do you have a house, caller?
Yes, I'm actually getting ready to buy a house. I just moved back about 4 or 5 months ago, so I'm planning on getting a house.
It's great. It's great. When you go into the bank to apply for the loan, bring the beer funnel. Bring the three-banger in and funnel the three brews so that the bank executive knows you're serious.
Bro, the thing about Delta Fu is if you're, like, from Portland, a dude from Seattle or Phoenix can crash at your house. And if you need someone, it's good for business. Like, it's a good way to make business
networking.
Contacts.
Exactly.
All right, Carl. Go on the website, deathfratguy.com or adamcarolla.com. Find out all the information. Let's take one more call. This guy's a combat medic in Iraq and also a pretty heavy drinker. Chad?
Hi.
It's a nice combination of skills.
I was a combat medic. It's past tense.
Okay.
Summer of 04.
Well, Tay, I feel like this is a good guy to have in your house because your heart could stop at any moment. There's alcohol poisoning,
right.
Things like that. You know, a lot of accidents happen when you're doing a keg stand.
Mm-hmm. And not every Tom, Dick, or Harry can pump his stomach.
Right. Let's say you're cleaning your potato gun and it goes off. You know, discharges. All of a sudden, you're lifeless, laying there. Who's going to bring you back?
If God forbid... You want to get hit full force with a potato gun, it would probably lop your head right off.
Right, it would kick your head off.
But it's good to know that there is that triage.
Right, triage.
A specialist in triage.
Right. Chad, where are you calling from?
San Diego.
San Diego. All right, and we Actually, we're going to be out there in a month or so, I do believe,
as
well.
We're planning, probably the second week of September, we're going to be in San Diego. Second or third week.
So, Chad, you know, you could wait till they start a Delta Fu chapter in your neighborhood, or you could just hop in your Daihatsu Charade and head on out here on the 10th and party with us over at Hooters.
Oh, it sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, why not? Hell, I've drive to Tijuana every other weekend. You can drive out here from San Diego.
He sounds like he could add a lot to Delta Fu with his medical training.
Yeah.
Delta Fu is, like a, you know, like we've been talking about, you know, this is just the first pledge drive. You know, he's going to, the first rush function. Chapters are springing up across the land. We'll go up to Portland and Seattle and down to San Diego and Phoenix.
We start
in
L.A. next week, and then later on, we're going to do a bunch of these.
L.A. this week, the world maybe the next week.
Mm, right.
But we even have a chapter up in Canada.
Oh, really?
Because Canadians are pretty cool. They love to drink beer and do all the cool stuff.
Right.
And Maverick, is being in a fraternity a good way to meet women?
No, it's not a good way. It's the only way.
Well, that's a good note to go out on. And speaking of women, Hugh Hefner's three girlfriends are all waiting in the green room. Mav, you can say hi and possibly try to recruit them if you like. But do it on your own time. We'll bring them in next. We'll ask them, well, they're the girls next door. You've seen the show on E! I think it's the second season.
Yeah.
Is just started up. Yes, Mav.
Well, can I say one more thing? Hell yeah, Delta Fu.
Take a quick break. We'll be back with Hef's hottie girlfriends after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. We got Hugh Hefner's girlfriends in the studio. What did they get Hef for his 80th birthday?
Hey, I'm Kendra, and I got him a Playboy Mansion Confidential poster, and I made it, like, I designed it myself, and it's me and a shadow of Hef with a cigar and bullets through the window, and, I mean, you're going to have to see it. I can't really explain it, but you're going to have to see it.
Hi, honey. I love you. Happy 80th birthday, and I got Hef a strip tee.
Yes, you
do. Now, hey, I'm Holly. I got Hef two white peacocks.
Call 866-901-ADAM, the girls next door, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Where do you get the white peacock? You got to go on the black market to get that, or is that a sexual move?
The white market.
They came from Vegas, but I'm not really in the mood to talk about that right now.
Oh, you guys, what's the problem? And by the way, Kendra, Bridget, and Holly are here. Holly, you seem upset. What's...
Sorry, I'm just really upset about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Oh, but... Sweetie, you're in the grotto having a good time up there at the Playboy Mansion.
Israel launched the deepest grounded strike into Lebanon. And I just think that we should think about that today because it's not cool.
But halfway across the world.
Though. Yeah, I thought you guys were, you know, just supposed to be thinking about fruity drinks and having a good time and partying.
And you know, today Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said an international peacekeeping force has to be in place before the fighting will stop, so...
Well,
awful.
Yeah, but no, I'm just saying we should be laughing it up and, you know, dancing around and...
But, like, when you're on vacation in Europe, you're a lot closer to that stuff.
I understand, but I just...
It's not funny.
No, I don't mean to make light of it. I just feel like...
I think even Kendra's upset. She looks kind of down.
Hey, Kendra, what's...
Oh, I'm so down. I just thought that Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's assertion... that a ceasefire was possible within days, not weeks.
It's
okay.
I know it's difficult. We all listen. We all grieve differently.
Yeah, a ceasefire is possible. You got to believe it.
All right. Well, the point is can we overcome this whole Middle East thing to at least have a good time on the radio and talk about the girls next door and other things like that?
I'll try and overcome it.
Sunday night.
I'm over it.
All right. Good. Me too. Sunday nights on E, by the way, 9 o'clock, second season started last Sunday. It's a little peek behind the curtain of what goes on over there at the Playboy Mansion. I've been a couple of times. Here's the whole thing. You can go to the Playboy Mansion and not go into the Playboy Mansion. You can walk around the Playboy Mansion, which is what you do half the time when you're invited to a party at the Playboy Mansion. But sometimes you get to go inside and walk around a little. But you guys have run of the place, yes?
We do. Full run.
Now, how does it work? Everyone is Hef's girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
So you're all technically Hef's girlfriend.
Correct.
He's whittled it down. He had seven just a couple of years ago, but he's whittled it down just to you three finalists.
Yeah, yes? It's quality over quantity.
That's right.
And how did it work? Who's senior? Who's the sergeant? Who's the private?
I'm Neil Haig.
And you got there. Did you get there first?
Yeah, I've been dating Hef longer than the other girls.
Well, how did you feel when the others then showed up?
Well,
Gizmo.
Gizzy.
Well, Hef was dating six other people when I first started dating him, so two other girls is a walk in the park. But no, I met Bridget and Kendra, and we became friends, and then they joined the group. So if I've got to share, I'm glad to be sharing with them.
Well, how does the sharing work? I mean, do you guys sleep in the same bed? Do you take turns?
Well, Bridget, I share a room with Hef, but Bridget and Kendra have their own rooms. Sometimes we have a big party.
I have a purple room. Bridget has a pink room.
So you're in Hef's room. Holly, you're in Hef's room full time.
Yeah.
You sleep on the big round bed.
Actually, he just has a huge, huge, huge square bed. The round bed we keep at Hef's other house across the street.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Is that where the real debauchery takes place?
No, it takes place at both houses, but there's a whole other world a lot of people don't know about, and it's Hef's house across the street, and Playmates live there, like some of our close friends, if they want to move out to L.A., we're like, hey, stay at our other house, and it's pretty cool.
So when I conduct my panty raid later on this evening, that's the target I should be shooting for.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool place, and there's hot girls over there.
Buy his ex-wife a house that's across the way as well?
It's next door, yeah.
So he has the house, not only, then the Playboy Mansion is...
He's buying out the neighborhood.
Yeah, I don't know what the Playboy Mansion is worth, but I would say...
We've had some really high offers, but I don't want to tell the tax man about it.
Oh, really?
No.
So, it's not for sale.
No.
And you couldn't put a price on it.
Not really.
But if you were to put a price on it... I would have to say, well, I don't know what they were asking. You know, see, Aaron Spelling's place is right up the street, right?
Right. Yeah, it's really close.
And I don't know what they were looking to sell.
$56 million or something thereabouts?
Yes. And this, you got to understand, like, you could buy an old Cadillac and it'd be worth $10,000. But if it was Elvis's old Cadillac, it'd be worth $150,000. This is the Playboy Mansion. This thing could be worth $75, maybe $100 million.
Well, Holly, though, you said we got an offer and we decided not to sell it. You don't actually.
I'm living in a fantasy world.
Yes, you're more his concubine. Yes, you're not really. You don't see any. You don't have a
Dave's
a
being indelicate,
account.
But the question is, are you guys on some kind of salary? How do you live?
No, I mean, we're getting paid well because we have the show now and everything, but, I mean, Hef's always been really generous with us, but it's not like we can just take his credit card and be like, hey, we're going shopping. We're definitely on budgets and watching our finances and making investments.
Speaking of generous, how's the sex go?
It's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, wait a second. How does it work? That's David Allen Greer. Someone you'll never have to have sex with. Don't worry. Is it... You've ever had a
that sounds
four,
like me.
Ever a four-way with Hef?
You know, I'm pretty open about the fact that we've had some big parties.
So included Hef and possibly others?
Yeah.
So the three of you and Hef, how many times a year or a month do you think that happens?
I don't know.
It varies.
Yeah.
From? Give us a low end.
I think that's up to you guys to answer.
How many times, Bridget, Kendra, be honest now.
I sleep with Bridget and Holly every night.
Now, would you guys consider yourselves bi?
No. I don't consider myself bi, but I've gone there.
You have? Yeah. With each other?
We with test somebody.
Mm-hmm. So you just put your big toe in to see if it was warm.
That's a funny visual.
I know you guys are still pretty upset about this whole Middle East thing.
Yeah, it's hard to bounce back.
I know. That is a pretty funny visual. Let's see it now.
But is there a sex schedule? You are living with Hef in the same room. How do you guys rotate into the sex schedule with Hef?
There really isn't one so much anymore. I mean, I just feel like we go with the flow, and our schedules are really busy work-wise. And what's that ticking clock?
Hef's heart.
It was a squirt.
Is he a virile man? He's 80 years of age. Is he able?
He has a ton of energy.
He does.
He does.
Still has a libido.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Takes all three of us to keep up with him.
How many days a week do you have to, does at least one of you have to lay down with him?
I have to.
Waking up in the middle of the night like three times a week. But that's just the middle of the night surprises.
That's not true.
It is true.
Three times a week half wakes you up.
Yes.
For a vigorous lovemaking session.
Yes.
Really? He's on a Viagra drip. Kicks in about 4 a.m. He does. He crunches that Viagra like popcorn, and he's ready to go, right?
Yeah.
And boy, this is going to be indelicate, but what comes out of him? Is it dust, or is it cobwebs, or is it the ghost of partners gone by? I mean, does Father Time pop cobwebs out of him? What? I can't imagine. I never wanted to think about it, but okay. You don't have to answer. So you've all been with him at the same time.
Yes.
Because, you know, I got to, again, let me just be honest. I think a lot of, if we could get serious for a second. I think a lot of people think you guys are just a front, you know, like, oh, Hef's 80 years old and he's up in his bedroom and he's lost interest. But you guys are saying you have a viable relationship with him.
Definitely. I don't know why everybody thinks it's a front, because, like, picture yourself at 80. Don't you think you'll be interested still?
Well, I get his point of view, but I guess I'm not sexually interested in an 80-year-old man.
You haven't met Hef.
So Hef would change me.
Maybe. I think he's just got a really magnetic personality, and people just fall in love with him.
Yeah, I think for everybody, it just depends on the situation. You might think, oh, I'd never be with an 80-year-old man, but if you meet the right guy, you never know.
Fair enough.
You would describe yourselves, each of you would describe yourselves as in love with Hef.
Yeah, before I met him, I thought it was kind of weird, and I didn't even know what was going to go on. But when I met him and I moved in, I got to know him, I thought completely different of him. He is so generous. Sweetest, kindest guy you'll ever meet in your life.
But still, that doesn't mean sexually attracted to.
He's still handsome. He's still really sexy, I think.
Mm-hmm. Hef's just got it, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Viagra.
That too.
How's he doing in the shorts department, by the way? I never hear this question answered. We talk about athletes all the time and certain celebrities.
Do you want to see one of my drawings?
Yeah.
Of his Hef's member?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you a pen. Okay, she's sketching it out right now on an index card.
You could, by the way, you could draw mine with one of those pencils you use to fill out your golf cart.
Yes, that's a small little pencil. Since your Wang is the size of that little mini pencil.
Yeah, you'd use it for a stencil. It's a template, actually.
I want to see this picture hung up in the studio.
We'll put it on the website.
All right, we need to take a break. We have the girls next door. Hef's three beautiful girlfriends, Kendra, Bridget, and Holly.
I just saw the picture.
In studio.
I'm not done yet. No peeking.
No peeking.
I heard tale. I won't tell the source, but I heard tale that after a night of partying on the way home in the limo, one of you will help Hef out in the back of the limo just to take a little of the starch out of his sail so the old man can hit the sack when you get up to the bedroom. Is that true?
This is disgusting.
I've done that before, but that was so long ago.
You have done that.
Yeah, but it was so long ago. I hate to think who told you that.
Mm.
Who told you that? I'm serious.
Were you trying to do that because you wanted to avoid the intercourse at home?
No, I don't know why I did. I think the party started.
Well, what's wrong with the little action in the back of the limo? What do you think that divider's for, baby? All right, we will take ourselves a break. We'll be back with the beautiful girls next door from Playboy after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show, Penthouse Pet Charlie Lane, comedian Greg Fitzsimmons.
So you don't wear a condom, you're having sex with every partner your partner ever had, and every partner each of those partners ever had. So theoretically, if you had sex with a woman who had sex with a guy who slept with your ex-girlfriend, theoretically, you could really screw yourself.
Plus, more on Mel Gibson, Dave's News, Teresa's Sports, and Adam Carolla. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Kendra, Bridget, and Holly all in the studio. The Collective Girls Next Door. On E! Sunday nights, 9 o'clock. Second big season started last Sunday. And, of course, they're Hef's girls. Let's see. I have a little math fun to do here. First off, though, and we have some sports. We have many things to get to, but let's start with this. I'm curious what the daily routine is. Not when you're filming, per se, but an off day. What's a normal weekday like?
I go hiking like almost every day. I find like an hour out of my day to go hiking, go do the stairs in Santa Monica, go shopping for our parties.
Is there a party every night? What time do you get up in the morning?
I get up at 1.
1,
that's,
really?
That's so hard for me right now.
Up at the crack of 1.
Crack of 1. I know, it's funny. Ironically, 1 sounds early. Sounds like that'd be the earliest you can get on. You get up
I'm
on 1.
I'm almost up at 1. I'm up at 3.
You get up at 1.
I've been getting up early lately because we've done like a lot of promotions and a lot of
so you're getting up 11:30 or noon these days.
No, like 6 a.m.
Oh. That sucks when you get up at 1. So you get up at 1 and then the hiking begins.
And then I get up, go hiking, I go shopping for the party on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have parties like all the time.
You guys having parties up at the mansion, huh?
Midsummer's on Saturday.
I haven't heard about those. And where's Hef at this point?
Sleeping.
Do you see him putzing around the house? He's sleeping at 1 in the afternoon?
He sleeps till about 11, and then one of the wings of the mansion is dedicated to offices, so he can just go down there and work all day. He still works on the magazine and the company and everything, so he spends most of the day working, and then depending on what we have doing, whether it's a buffet and dinner at the house or going out or having a party, that's nighttime.
Now he walks around most days in his pajamas.
Yes. Yeah, every day, all day.
But then does he sleep in a three-piece suit? I mean, you see, that's where I think the twist is. What does he wear to sleep?
He wears flannel pajamas to sleep instead of silk.
And he wears the silk ones around so they don't chafe during the day. Smoking jacket.
Smoking.
So Hef essentially dresses like Hef during the day.
Yes, he does.
And he's up at around noon. And what do you do? Like, how's breakfast work? Do you call down? Do you phone in your orders? They're full-time chefs.
We have a 24-hour kitchen. Anything we want, anytime we want it.
It's like room service.
Do you have a hairdresser full-time?
We go to the salon.
Every day?
Whenever we need to.
Mm-hmm.
Not recently.
And so you go down, you eat your breakfast, and then you're free to go about your day. You have your own car. You hop in it. You come and go as you please. Mm-hmm. Well, 9 o'clock's the curfew.
Yeah, 9
o'clock's
our
deadline. Need to be back by 9 p.m.
Deadline.
When you're out of the house at 4:30 in the afternoon, that's a short day.
So you have an allowance and a curfew. Hef is a little bit of a father figure.
Mm-hmm. Takes the place of my dad.
Do you ever fall into bed with each other during the day?
Kendra and I like to nap together.
Yeah. Oh, we do.
Are you allowed to take, I assume the answer is no, are you allowed to take male lovers?
No.
Outside of Hef.
No.
But he's allowed to take other women, yes?
There haven't been any others besides the three of us for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Can we see the drawing of his phallus, by the way?
Pass it around.
Yeah, it's out of proportion. Holly made. It's huge.
Oh, let's hope it is. Is he a well-endowed man? I never hear this spoken of. It should be everyone's first question. Mm. Maybe they...
Yeah, I think so.
You go with yes? Boy. Mm-hmm. Hmm? Yes. Yeah, we good? Thumbs up from everyone?
Some hesitation from you.
Yes.
And
Kendra?
I think she just figured we already answered the question.
Yeah, I'm like...
All right.
She's like, I'm just going with the flow.
You just his penis with faint praise.
This is really early for Kendra.
I understand. She's not due to get up for another 6-7 hours. Lindsay?
Yes?
You want to say something to the girls?
Oh, yes. Just... say hi, but also just wanted to let you know that I know you guys get dogged on a lot by other women and everything, and you had that horrible interview on The View and everything, and I just wanted to let you know
haters.
Huge. You have a big, like, fan base right here in Sacramento. The whole bunch of us girls would just love watching you guys. You all are so cute and so sweet, so just wanted to say you got love from the girls.
Thanks.
What happened?
I want to go up there and do a signing with our magazine this
I went
month.
To Sac State, and we want to come and do a signing there.
I can show you Sac State.
Awesome. Not at Sac State, but...
Oh, yeah. I'll be there in a year.
For the show.
Well, Bridget, you're from near Sacramento, and you have fans there, but what went down on The View?
It was just a boring interview. Like, I thought they'd have some good, challenging questions for us, but instead they plopped us all on one chair, and it was kind of boring.
Who was mean to you?
Barbara.
Really? What'd
Barbara
she say?
Barbara was.
Well, they were just looking at us kind of like up and down and treating us like we weren't like really human. You know, we have like emotions, you know. Come on. Don't treat us like any other. Oh, my God. Don't.
So you feel. Don't. You must feel like a lot of women see what you guys are doing and say you're Benedict Arnold's.
It
you're
is mean.
You're trading out. Your women, you know, you're disgracing women.
Yeah,
by doing
I mean,
this.
Some people think that, but I just feel like the whole feminist battle was just so women have choices. And I think to turn around and say, hey, look, every woman has to be exactly like this is going backwards in a way. And I think it's silly. And even though I'm sitting where I am, I still go to school and I have my own priorities in life. And that's my business.
That's right.
Dun, dun, dun.
What grade are you in now?
What grade am I in?
Oh, you're talking about college.
She's in college.
Okay.
She went to a good school.
You look young. That's all I'm saying.
And we actually have a huge female fan base.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly females.
No, you know, here's the whole thing about women. What's great is they can't get along. I mean, for every one that hates you, there's going to be 10 that love you. You know, you can't get a woman elected president. There's more women who vote than men. You just think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. Holly, you I heard you saying during the break that you grew up in Alaska?
Yeah, on Prince of Wales Island.
Does that mean your dad was on the run from the law?
No.
Everyone from Alaska's got trouble in their past.
He might have worked on an oil rig.
No, he worked in the timber industry. He manages a port.
That's the story. He beat India when you were young, right?
Exactly.
I'm convinced I could walk into any bar in Alaska and just yell, federal agent, and everyone would just dive out of the window doing shoulder rolls, and I'd just drink for free. It's going to be my plan this summer.
You're used to unnaturally large wood.
I like that line.
All right, we had a little something planned with you guys called Fun with Math here. Here's the intro.
I'm not doing math.
It's fun with math.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. This
one
is fun with
math. May not think it rocks when we're done. Here is some math we worked out with the beautiful triplets and Hugh Hefner. Hugh, 80.
Count me out.
Holly, 26. Kendra, 21. Bridget, 32. Hef is older than your combined ages. Is that true? Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah. All right. Hef was 12 years older than Kendra is now when Castro took power. That's old, baby.
This is fun.
Is he on those supplements or something? Is he on the juice? You know, there's all this sort of HGH whatever and all this stuff that replaces the human growth hormone and the anti-aging this and that. The guy's 80. He's still virile and everything.
He has a strict diet. He eats the same thing every day.
Really?
Fried chicken and mashed potatoes.
Really? But he's not on any... I'm not talking about on the juice, but they have these anti-aging whatever, turn the clock back kinds. If I was super rich and had 3 hotties and was 80, I would be on this stuff too. Is he on any supplements that we need to know about? And how do we get him?
Yeah, I think it's just genetics. His mother lived to be 101, and, you know, his brother's in really good shape, too. So
His brother is?
Yeah, his brother's like 2 years younger than him, but he's still playing tennis every day.
Is he out here?
Yeah.
Because I would have moved into the mansion a long time ago. I'd be a perpetual fixture on the sofa. Who's the guy in the boner and in the robe walking around? And that's Ace.
It's like Cuba. If Hugh goes down, the brother takes over.
That's right. Hef was 59 when Kendra was born.
Whoa.
Kendra just turned 21 and is now allowed to drink.
Yeah.
Although I'm guessing she had a fake ID.
Many years ago.
Got
in trouble.
Hef was born during Prohibition. Kendra, do you know what Prohibition is?
No.
See? You're young too.
Do you have any guesses on what it might be? No.
That's when it was bad for mommies and daddies to drink. It was illegal.
Okay.
They made it. There's a time in this country when they made booze illegal. Can you imagine?
Wow.
That's how the mafia got started.
Do you know that before you were even born, Mel Gibson was already hating the juice? Think about that.
I'm sure they're going to.
I'm thinking.
The president when Kendra was born was Ronald Reagan. The president when Hef was born was Calvin Coolidge.
Do you like his designs?
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Kendra, you're going to do the sports when we come back because you're a big sports fan, right?
That sounds great.
Not a huge fan of American history.
No,
but
I'm
a
not.
Huge sports fan. T, you're going to be teeing up the news, correct?
Yeah, we'll be talking a little bit more about Mel. Some new information, Mel Gibson that is, on how he could have been suicidal. And also, you can actually buy some of Paris Hilton's stuff on eBay right now for less than $100.
Kendra, Bridget, and Holly here, the girls next door. Sunday nights on E! 9 o'clock. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight. At 7 on Lifetime, The Pilot's Wife. When a pilot dies in a crash, his wife discovers he's been leading a secret life, starring Christine Lottie. Then at 8 on TV Guide Channel, Don't Watch Lookalike. A woman gets a makeover to resemble Oprah Winfrey. Finally at 9 on Sci-Fi, make sure you don't watch Crocodile 2, Death Swamp. Thieves hijack a plane, but when they crash in a swamp, they face off with a giant crocodile. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Kendra, Bridget, and Holly, all in studio. The girls next door on E! Sunday nights, 9 o'clock. Kendra's going to be helping out with the sports that we're going to do in just one moment.
San Diego Superchargers, Sandy.
I like it.
First, I'm reading here on the bios that Holly says you have a lot in common with Hef.
I do.
And you hit it off immediately. What do you guys share passion for?
Just a lot of things. We love to hang out with the same people, do the same things. We like the same movies, same music.
What movies? He likes old movies he watches.
We both love
Don Adams from the 40s, right?
Yeah, I love to watch old movies, though.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
What are some of your favorites?
All About Eve is one of my favorite old movies, and Once Upon a Time in America.
Yeah, I love that one.
Mm. Once Upon a Time in America is not...
It's not that old. It's kind of old.
What are we talking? What are we talking? 80? 1980? Early
80s? Like 83, I think.
Oh, man, do I feel
old if you're 21.
Long movie.
All right, fire up the oven, Brusca. I'm going to kill myself right after the show. Kendra?
Yes.
You will fill in when it comes time to do the sports
All
for
right.
Dave Damashek, since that's something you're very interested in. But first, we'll do the news with Teresa Strasser.
Okay, I know you girls are very upset about the situation in the Middle East.
Damn.
So I hope you can make it through this. Israel has launched its first full day of a massive ground attack, sending 10,000 troops into Lebanon. Reports say that Israeli commandos captured 5 Hezbollah guerrillas. Now, the prime minister, Ehud Olmert, was asked by the Associated Press if any of the Hezbollah guerrillas were, quote, big fish that had been captured. Mm. He said that they are tasty fishes.
Wow, it's like being in the zoo. Hey, just to clarify, they're not actual gorillas. They're... I don't mean to be condescending, but that's a name they use. It's not like they haven't stormed the zoo. Okay, although it would be good if they actually captured
gorillas.
And they must have gorillas that are in Lebanon somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. They've got to have a zoo there somewhere.
Now, you girls, I'm sure, have heard about the Mel Gibson story.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday he issued a second apology, this one specifically to the Jewish community, reading, quote, "Please know from my heart that I'm not an anti-Semite." He's asking Jews for help on the path for healing, and he wants to specifically have one-on-one meetings with some Jews. And but now the king of the Jews seems to be anti-defamation head Abe Foxman.
Mm.
And Abe accepts Mel's apology. Mm. But the new news about Mel, this according to the LA Weekly, a so-called source close to Mel, says that Mel was on the verge of suicide because he felt helpless to alcohol and he didn't know what to do about it. If the cop hadn't stopped him, this guy was going to be wrapped around a pole. That's a quote from the so-called friend of Mel to the LA Weekly, who went on to say, "This is about his not wanting to live anymore. There's no doubt in my mind that he was trying to kill himself."
Death wish.
Yeah.
Career death wish.
He really looked...
He really looked on death's door with his arms draped over those blondes who looked like these three girls.
I saw the news story where it was like he was posing with beautiful tourists with holding what appeared to be a beer. I'm going to go way out on a limb and just assume that brown bottle that was in his right hand was a beer.
Didn't exactly have the look of a Sylvia Plath or an Ernest Hemingway as he was posing with the girls. Okay.
No.
In lighter news, Paris Hilton, you know how you have a monthly storage unit and you have to pay every month to keep the unit going? Well, Paris Hilton allegedly forgot to pay the bill on her unit. Her reps say it was some kind of bureaucratic foul up, but this is her song.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton's song.
Turn it off.
Or it's Blondie from 1979.
One or the other. So here's what happened. If you do not pay your bill, somebody gets to auction your stuff. So Paris Hilton's stuff went to the highest biller. It is currently on eBay until Sunday. So let's just say you want to buy a little something for your lady friend. There are 33 pieces of her jewelry. You can buy a crystal encrusted pendant that says sex. So far, a tiara.
That's not crystal.
Oh, so far a tiara is the hot ticket item. It's last I checked, almost $200. You can buy a monkey brooch.
First off, how small does your apartment have to be that you don't have room for a tiara? You know what I mean? It's not a moped or a catamaran. It's a tiara. That should be in your closet.
The question is, how many tiaras do you have that one is forced out?
Here's the story. Now, the story broke a few years back, or I should say a few months back, and I sort of feel sorry for her. She's not a sympathetic character, but she did have somebody who was supposed to be in charge of keeping the storage facility up, and they neglected to make the payment, and then it goes on the auction block, but it doesn't say when they auction it off what's in it or whose it is. First off, imagine the breed of cat that is buying auctioned off storage spaces out in the Inland Empire.
Makes Joe Francis look like Mahatma Gandhi.
Diamond earrings! So there's just some schlub, and you're just bidding on lot number 122-9, and at some point you realize after paying $137 that it turns out you're hoping there's going to be an old outboard engine or something in there, maybe a dead hooker. It turns out it's Paris Hilton's.
Well, the guy who auctioned it sold it to this sleazy guy, and the sleazy guy is the one who's auctioning. And by the way, this is just the first auction. There are videotapes in there. There's all kinds of other
I think they were going to try to sell it back to her for millions. I do not like the law when it pertains to this kind of stuff. I say this was a mistake. Somebody needs to be paid. That there's a toll that needs to be paid, but then you get your stuff back.
Yes. Now, you girls, do you girls have a MySpace page?
Yes.
Right?
No.
See, everyone's got a MySpace. No?
No? No?
We're just like the last MySpace holdout on Earth.
I'm addicted.
Well, you and 95 million other people. That's how many people are currently on MySpace. Facebook.com is nipping at its heels. That's the popular one with the high school kids and college kids. But now there's a new networking site online for the over 50 set. It's called eons.com.
Eons.
And it's created by the mogul who founded the job site Monster.com. One of Eon's features, an online obituary database that sends out alerts when someone you know dies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is Hef on there?
No, I have a MySpace page for him.
You do?
Yeah.
How's Hef's health? He feel good? Is he mobile?
Yeah, his health's awesome.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, what happens if he goes?
I'll be sad and I'll cry.
Okay.
He's not
Have you discussed if you're in his will?
No.
Really?
That's never comes
come up.
No.
Hef will live forever.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
On the off chance he doesn't, though.
You get nothing. You lose.
On his MySpace page that you built for him, how do you list his status?
Swinger. I list him as a swinger.
Swinger.
Because, I mean, if anybody's a swinger, come on.
Exactly. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that is the news.
It's time for Kendra Wilkinson's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Kendra.
I'm the Schwab. Just kidding. No. Okay, I'm so excited because NFL preseason starts Sunday, August 6th. It's a Hall of Fame game, Philadelphia against Oakland. And the regular season starts September 7th.
Yes.
I'm so excited. Oh, my God. I can't wait.
You guys going to be at Kimmel's this year watching the game with the regular guys? You're going to be up there in your ivory tower casting judgment on the commoners.
Oh, I got NFL ticket now, baby, so.
Oh, we'll come by your place. Where are you? Over at Hess Mansion. Oh, okay.
You can come over. We'll bring a sixer. Anytime.
You officially invite both of these guys, Adam and Dave, to watch at Hess.
Oh, yeah, please. Okay. I need some friends to watch football with over there.
All right. Well, you just run the cable out to the grotto, and we'll get a waterproof TV set and watch it there.
I'm in.
And I'm so excited this year because we finally have a team. We have everything we need in a team except for our only issue is...
You're talking about the Chargers, right?
Right, the Chargers, right.
Sure.
The only issue
look,
that we
whatever
have
you say,
right now,
we, people understand you're speaking of San Diego. Wherever you are.
When you said we finally have a team, I thought, LA's getting a football
team. We, the San
Diegans. My mind is still in San Diego, so
well, you love the Eagles, too, though.
I love
though,
the Eagles, too. My mom was the Eagles cheerleader. My whole family grew up in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, so I grew up an Eagles fan. But then, you know, the closest thing I had was Qualcomm Stadium, Jack Murphy Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, of course, I picked up being a Charger fan. I'm a number one Charger. I'm a diehard Charger fan.
Yeah, you're... Right, so, except for the people that aren't also fans of the Eagles as well. I've seen
the
number one.
They don't play each other till 2009, so I'm good till then.
You
they
grew up in Cherry Hill, New Jersey?
No, my family did, and I lived there for a little bit.
I found $50 in the mall of the Cherry Hill, New Jersey mall when I was six, which means you wouldn't have been born for another couple of hundred years.
Right.
And my mom made me give the $50 bill to the lost and found.
Oh, good.
But she taught you an important lesson.
Yes, and she was a bitch.
No wonder you're such a good boy.
Not the wallet, a $50 bill, and somebody claimed it.
Oh, no.
Of course I did.
I knew it was all downhill from that point on.
The lost and found keeper claimed it.
A woman claimed it and said she lost a loose $50 bill to Cherry Hill Mall.
Nothing.
But
God damn.
You're an honest, good person.
And here's the thing. That was like, you know, 1973 or 71 or something like that. So $50 was worth quite a bit more. Plus, if you were a Corolla, put a few more zeros behind that 50 because that's worth even that much more.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, I'll show you, baby. All right, sorry. You had to bring up Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Yeah, I love it there. It's cool. But anyways, yeah, I'm just so excited. We finally have a team, but our only issue right now is our quarterback. But I do have some inside scoop.
Oh, you do?
I do, and I have a lot of Charger friends, and they tell me that he's actually looking better than Breeze did, and I'm kind of excited, and I think
Philip Rivers.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. I keep
fill in the name in the city
about.
Every once in a while.
A lot of enthusiasm, not as many proper nouns. But I still think it's great.
Look, yeah, I'm saying if you're just saying a place, people should assume San Diego, and it should be Philip Rivers.
Sorry, I think you guys know what I'm talking. I think
we
guys,
do.
You know.
If I can just say just a quick critique is, you know, I think just this self-indulgent going on about your favorite team as though anybody cares.
I know I'm selfish. I know all you Oakland fans out there are waiting for the Monday night game on the September 11th, but watch out. The Bolts are coming through to lightning strike you.
All right. So Bolts and the Eagles.
Yes.
What else? Anything else going on in sports?
Padres just lost against Houston, the first game of the series last night, but we're still in first place, so poor Dodgers.
What's going on the high school level in San Diego? Is any girls volleyball or anything we should know about?
I don't know.
Well, Kendra, you played soccer, right?
Yeah, I played soccer, yeah.
Were you good?
I was really good. I played soccer my whole life, and I miss it. And I just played softball with, actually, Adam at the celebrity softball game. That was fun. We're on the same team.
Yeah, we got our asses kicked.
Yeah, we did.
My guys that took it really seriously and tried really hard. Would you please, people, understand that that's humiliating when you do head-first slides in softball in the second base?
But you guys had the best cheerleader.
Yes. God? Oh, no, you, yes, and God.
Right. Kendra Wilkinson's
number one sports.
God bless Kendra, Bridget, and Holly, everyone. The girls next door, Sunday nights.
Keep talking about sports. Come on
9
now.
9 o'clock. Dave, we'll do it on your own dime, sister.
Okay.
Sunday nights, 9 o'clock on E! Dave's got a very special jerk list to deliver after this.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Jerk list.
A severe penalty for being a jerk.
That's what I love about the jerk list.
What an outrage. Shame!
That's what I love about the jerk list.
There's too many jerks. Shame!
game.
That's what I love about the jerk list.
Judge rules, jerk!
Well, as promised, a late edition of the jerk list with Dave Damaschek.
Say that it's been a fun morning, and as a result, I'm in a sporting mood. I've decided to allow all you jerks out there a running start. Ready, set, go!
Jerks, the ultimate prey.
They can run as much as they want. Don't they know they can't outrun justice? Let it begin! Number 5 on the list this week. You know, our former intern and now editor, Mike Chaffee.
Can I jump in for just 1 second? You know when people...
Already?
Sorry. Wow. I'll let you go after this, but...
Mind your P's and Q's after this one.
Don't wish me into the cornfield, David, please. When people do that thing where they go, you can run, but you can't hide. I think you can hide. I'm pretty sure if I ran for a while...
Give me a running start, I got a better chance of hiding and you not finding me than if I...
Yeah, it should be, you can run and you can hide... But then I'll find you.
Right.
It's not you can't run. You can run, but you can't hide. I would say, oh, yeah, you can hide.
In most cases, hiding is actually easier.
Can't stop a man from hiding.
No. Right,
start the whole thing.
Sorry for that digression, now, David. I'm sorry.
Now, I was talking about Mike Chaffee. He's an admirable kid.
Yes.
Because he started out as one of our interns. Now he's worked his way up to editor. Dig this, though. He's a wonderful fellow. Always liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Till yesterday. On the way to the show, I guess.
Uh-huh.
He runs out of gas on the freeway. His car makes it halfway down the exit ramp. He then pushes his car down the exit ramp all the way through an intersection. This is under the cloak of night, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is before the show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Pushes it through an intersection to a gas station, refuels, and gets here on time to start the show.
I don't need that.
I don't like that.
He walked right in at, what, 4:30 or something? Bresca wasn't here.
Makes me look bad.
Yeah, he's rubbing that in everyone's face.
Yes. You know what? Hard worker, ambitious, whatever. I got a name for it. Jerk!
He should join the ranks of those JOs who announce to the boss they're sick, but they still came in. Meanwhile, the ace man is called in for a third day in a row, saying he's not going to make
it
in.
With a rash.
With a rash.
Number
4. Right.
There's a 2-year-old kid over in Colorado named Braden Bozak. I like little kids, as you know. This one was just on Good Morning America, though, with Diane Sawyer. Because he's a golfer. He's a 2-year-old golfer.
Yeah.
And he has a beautiful swing. Listen to this kid.
Yeah, you're going to show it. This is Braden Bozak. We told you about him before. He is 2 years old.
Probably trying to grow up like me.
Tiger, you think, when you grow up?
And watch me, I hit the golf.
You're already whacking it like a pro.
That's weird. That man.
Bad little skunk.
Yeah.
2 years of age, he's on national TV. He's better at golf than I am. Jerk! All right, let's take a little break from
that was
from
an
the
attack,
acid.
Dave. Yes. You're right.
Thank you, Adam. Now, get out a jerk-free card. Of course, desirable, because in any future jerkiness, you can buy your way out of it with the get out a jerk-free card. Mandalay Bay, Caesars, and the Mirage. These three Vegas casinos have apparently decided to allow toplessness in certain parts of their pool areas. Toplessness, bare bosoms. They call it European style. Okay, that's pretty nice, right? That's awesome. They deserve a get out of jerk free card. Enjoy it, three casinos. There you go. You get letting us see the beautiful bosoms that attend Vegas on the weekend. Wonderful. Now back to the jerks. Same three casinos.
What?
Here's the deal. They're charging the women $10 to sit in this European area, the topless area. $10 in order to make this exhibition. The men, $50. What gives?
Well, the women, it should be free for the women because it's like ladies' night. They're looking to get all the hot topless whatever. And by the way, I like to walk around the Vegas pool with a nut out. Where's my section?
Well, they charge you $15 per nut if you want it out.
So be it.
Can you imagine that? Listen, I'll tell you this much. I'm not going to pay any cash, but maybe this will help grease the skids. You're jerks! Take that. Now, number 2, tie atop the list, Mel Gibson and Hezbollah.
Who hates Jews
more? Same footing, huh?
Right. Jerk and double jerk! Oh, you know what? Someone snuck in here, by the way. I want to get to this one. Number 2, the Brady Bunch.
Let me tell you, Bunch.
Well, specifically,
it was Hezbollah and Gibson number two?
They were number two, but this one just squeaked in. This is 2A, yes. Okay. Right. Not to be confused with the tie for number two between Hezbollah. Right.
So there's three number twos at this point.
Bring Kendra back. Yes. She made more sense.
Now.
Uh-oh. Don't do it then.
Oh, no, now not no.
Now
please,
we have
no.
four
Let
number
me
two. Lisa Strasser, a.k.a. Jerk!
Right. You did it, T. You opened their mouth. Yes.
I know.
Did I do
my
that?
My own fault.
No. Did I have anything
I
to
have
do
no
with
self
that?
Self-defense.
No, you're
she
just
did
defending
it
yourself.
To herself.
Please,
now,
I'm sorry.
Brady Bunch. There's that one episode where Cindy is being made fun of by the bully. Baby talk, baby talk. Here, let me remind you about
it. It's a wonder you can walk.
Baby talk, baby talk. It's a wonder you can walk.
We stop that, buddy Hinton.
Stop that. Oh, witty bitty baby talk.
Say, Buddy Hinton's a jerk. So Peter, the brave older brother, comes along and and has this exchange with mean Buddy Hinton.
What teases my sister? You want me to quit? Then you make me. Come on, make me. Come on, scaredy cat, make me. Well, just stop teasing, that's all. Baby talking, scaredy cat. Hey, chicken. Hey, Peter Chicken.
All right, I don't know that Peter Chicken's a great dig, but I think we get the point that Buddy Hinton is a bad dude, and he's twice the size of Peter Brady.
That's
Never
right.
mind Cindy Brady.
That's right.
So, all right, here's where I have the problem. Here's where the kernel of the issue begins. Now, Mike Brady, the old man of the family, he sits down Peter and tells him this.
I'm really not a very good fighter. I've never been in a real fight.
Well, that's nothing to be ashamed, huh? But there comes a time, Peter, when you have to learn to defend yourself, see? And in a couple of weeks, Buddy Hinton's not going to be able to lay a glove on you.
You think so?
I'm positive.
The old man's going to teach the boy fisticuffs, you know, to stand up to the guy twice his size, the evil Buddy Hinton. Then it leads to this in the schoolyard.
Get out. What are you going to do about it? Shut up or fight.
Okay, if that's the way you want it. I'm ready.
You asked for it.
Peter socks the bully.
Wow.
Now, Buddy Hinton's coming.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you. Really, I didn't.
See, you knocked my tooth loose.
Oh, Buddy Hinton's crying. His tooth's loose.
He's got a lisp.
Goliath has been felled by David. Hey, here's the problem with that. In the real world, and I can speak from personal experience, stand up to the bully. Go punch the guy twice your size. Go give him a shove. See if that's all that you need to do to make the bully back down. It don't work that way. Brady Bunch sends a bad message to the nerds of the world. Hey, just stand up to the bully. They just are going to cower, too. They're doing it because of their self-esteem issues. Do it to that. Yeah, stand up to these bullies. You're going to get buried. They're going to slam your head against a locker.
Yeah.
Which is what happened to me in seventh grade. Wow. Brady Bunch, you are a jerk. And lastly.
Wow, that was a cathartic jerk report.
Thank you. Well, no, we're not
I
done
saw
yet.
I, that episode ran recently, and not only did Mike Brady tell little Peter about boxing, but later on went to say that he was gay. And that he would be effing a chick one day who wouldn't be born for another 25 years.
All right. It was a log jam at number two today.
Mm.
And now that leads us to the creep of the week.
Horrible name for a gay bar, by the way.
Log jam? Mm-hmm.
Creep, creep, creep of the week, of the week. He or she is a creep of the week. This is terrible. I'm really upset about this one. You know, I mentioned Wednesday past, that 2 weeks ago we went to the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a little issue with the woman behind the counter. I said, hey, can you stamp my ticket for the validation? She said, all right. She gave me a new ticket. I said, I need the original ticket back. She said, no, you don't need the original back. I said, listen, I've been coming here for years. I know I need both tickets.
She just gave you the validation.
She just gave me the validation. Of course, I went to get out of the parking lot. I was told, no, you need both tickets. I went back and spoke with the woman. I said, you were wrong. I was right. She said, huh. Therefore, she was a jerk last week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I go to the farmer's market again with the gang last Friday. I put down my keys and my validation ticket on the table. One of the people who cleans up comes and throws my ticket away. They threw my ticket away. Now it's an attack. I am starting to get the impression that sometimes when you show up on the jerk list, it falls on deaf ears.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I've had to move it up to make them creep of the week. And I don't need to remind anybody. Just ask Barry Bonds. You show up a third time on the list,
mm-hmm.
Hall of Shame.
Wow.
beware, Farmers Market, because for the second time in 2 weeks, you are a jerk!
I gotta tell you, that is, that's tough talk, but he can back it up.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, man, this is Tommy Chong. And you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, you are, and soon you were, because we're plumb out of time. I want to thank Jackie Mason for calling in. Surprisingly easy on Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
I like that. Refreshing. JackieMason.com is where you go. We want to hear about him. Holly, Bridget, and Kendra. Girls Next Door, Sunday nights, 9 o'clock on E! And by the way, the aforementioned Holly, Bridget, and Kendra are going to be at Tower Records on Sunset tomorrow night with Hef in tow. Hef will be there 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Tower Records, the triplets, not Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. The foxy ones, Holly, Bridget, and Kendra. Not that there's anything. All right, I don't want to talk too much. I seem guilty. Tower, Sunset, 7 o'clock with Hugh Hefner. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.